want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
When you look at the black race, black people are very gifted in what we call worship and celebration. A lot of us like to dance. If you go to a black church, you see people jumping up and down because they really get into it. White people were blessed with the gift of structure and organization. You guys do a good job of building businesses and things of that nature. And you know how to tap into money pretty much better than a lot of people do around the world. Hispanics were gifted in family structure. And you can see a Hispanic person, and they could put 20 or 30 people in one home. They were gifted in the family structure. When you look at the Asian is very gifted in creation, creativity, and inventions. If you go to Japan or any Asian country, they can turn a television into a watch. They're very creative. Then you look at the Indians. They've been very gifted in the spirituality. When you put all of that together, guess what it makes? It forms a complete image of God. Homosexuals are trying to compare their plight with the plight of black men or black people. In the process of history, homosexuals have never been castrated. Millions of them never died. Homosexuality is a decision. It's not a race. And when you look at it, people from all different ethnic backgrounds living this lifestyle. But people from all different ethnic backgrounds also are liars and cheaters and malicious and backstabbers. We're in sin, and because this nation is in sin, God will judge it if we don't get it right. A lot of times people, media and people in general, think people are crazy when they say God spoke to them. I didn't hear an audible voice. Nobody came and knocked on the door and told me, Reggie, you should do this. I just heard something in my mind that gave me extreme peace. While I was getting my back rub, God spoke to me and told me I made a promise. When I signed a deal, last year I signed a 5-year deal with the promise to the team that I would play for 2 years. I made a promise to the Green Bay Packers that I would play for 2 years. And while I was laying down, the Lord spoke to me and said, you made a promise. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you made a promise. We promised them that you would play 2 years, and I want you to fulfill that commitment.
Hi, I'm Cameron Gray, Operations Director. Don't blame me.
Thank you for the applause. Welcome to the Best of Don and Mike on the Westwood One Radio Network. Greetings to all our affiliates across the land. I'm your host, Joe Ardinger. And today on the Don and Mike Show, we've got some great stuff for you in the best of mode. And I don't want to waste any time. La, la, la. Before it meant la, 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 it meant L.A., L.A., L.A. It's Don and Mike live in L.A. on the Best of Don and Mike.
And here we are back in the beautiful Village Hotel. Just make yourself at home on the couch, Mike.
You know, as I've said, if we could get our studio turned into a hotel room, I would be very, very happy.
Coast to coast, nationwide, via Westwood One, darling. Don Geronimo with Mike O'Mara. That's what we call it. Your cotton-picking Don and Mike show.
Hi, everybody.
Coming to you not from the studios of Dungy WJFK, a CBS station in Washington, D.C. We do the show on Westwood One with 49 affiliate stations and over 3 million listeners. Once again, we are starting with our remote equipment from my hotel room.
This is a lovely hotel room as we look out onto the beautiful Hollywood Hills in sparkling West Hollywood, California.
Come here. I want to go out to the deck for a minute to start the show. We're going to go over to CBS again in a couple of seconds. I'll tell you about some problems we had there yesterday. This morning as I got up real early and I was standing out here on the deck of the Bellagio Hotel.
Yes.
You see the room over there with the sliding glass door that's wide open?
Yes, it looks like there's some activity going on in there.
Well, what happened was a woman came to the sliding glass door and she was draped in the sheet from the bed. like wearing it toga style.
Oh, really? Like she just sprung out of Betty Bye.
And then what she did was she threw it off, and she stood in front of the door naked because the sun was coming up over that way.
And you happened to be witnessing. Were you camped out for like a good 3 hours waiting for that to happen?
I was sitting out here just reading the newspaper, and she did one of these things where she stood and looked at the sun, and then she turned around, and then her boyfriend or husband came out.
Really? And she was naked?
She was naked, and so was he.
Oh, there she is. All right.
Oh, that's the lady.
All right.
That's
fantastic.
The lady right there. I saw her naked today.
And now we're whispering, ooh, that's a very nice-looking woman.
And I also saw her husband or boyfriend, and just let me say, he reminded me of David Caruso. See, she's walking all over the place. That's what I love about L.A.
L.A. is that free-spirited lifestyle.
So listen, here we are.
That was so weird because you were telling that story and she came out on the balcony again.
Here we are back in the hotel. Yesterday's show from CBS went good. We had a bunch of really good celebrities.
Oh, it was a fantastic Monday.
We didn't have any technical problems. However, let me tell you what happened when we got done. We signed off, and it was 4 o'clock here, which is 7 o'clock back at home, and we were done. We'd already done our 4 hours of show.
That's right.
And they had a whole bunch up. Somebody's car alarm going off.
Car alarms in Hollywood going off constantly.
Somebody said to us, you guys can't leave yet because we're not done bringing out these celebrities. And we tried to explain to the guy at CBS that, listen, our show's only 4 hours, and we're done.
We filled up an awful lot of time visiting Mr. Snyder's set.
And what they thought we would do is stay and tape some interviews with celebrities to run today. Well, first off, we don't do anything like that. And second,
No.
The list of celebrities that they had still to come yesterday, shaky at best.
Yes, very shaky.
So here's what we did. We said that we had another appointment to go to, but we were going to leave Rob A. behind.
Right, exactly.
To do the interviews.
And Rob sat there, and we left.
Yeah, now, of course, those interviews will never see the light of day.
Absolutely not. We didn't feel that they were... Rob, you didn't do any interview that you felt was worthwhile, did you?
I'll be saving my conversation with John Schneider just for me.
Now, he's a collector, you know, so he will save that.
That is one of the Duke boys, right?
Looking Bo Duke, the blonde.
Hey, well, someone, hold on, let me just shut the sliding glass door here for a second. Just see if that lady's out there again. Yeah, she's out there.
Ah, look at that. Now the hotel room has become an airtight studio.
So we left Rob there. We got in our car and left. I wanted to come back. You know, Monday Night Football starts at 6 o'clock out here.
It's great. I tell you, if you're a football fan, this is the place to be.
So I wanted to get back to make sure I could watch the game. And
great
Mike,
game.
Mike wanted to get back to, well, I dropped Mike off at that Beverly Shopping Center, the one from Clueless.
Yes, the Beverly Center. And I did some shopping, some light shopping, because, you know, that's what I do when I'm out here. I skirt around the Beverly Center and had a marvelous, marvelous time. And I, you know, it's nice to see no matter where you go, there's always a mall with the same food and the same food court.
You know, that's why I was so amazed that you wanted to go to that mall. It's like you could go to Tyson's Corner or you could go to any mall back at home.
Let me tell you something, Don. This is my motto. Whenever I'm hungry, whatever city I'm in, I always have to get to Panda Express. Panda Express is so consistent no matter where you are.
So I dropped Mike off at the shopping center.
Right.
And we all come back here to the hotel, me and Broyhill. Now keep in mind that Rob is still there doing these interviews.
Was it getting warmer?
It never got any cooler.
And how long did you stay there doing more interviews?
I got back here, golly, like 6, 7 o'clock.
So he was there for like 3 more hours.
My God, man.
So when we go over to CBS in a couple of minutes, I'm not really sure how they're going to treat us today.
Yeah.
I think that we were the only troublemakers there yesterday.
Well, I think if they appreciate good comedy, then they'll be happy with our performance.
Well, see, the thing is that all the other disc jockeys that they have there are DJs who play records, and they are taping stuff for their show that will air tomorrow morning. And the other disc jockeys are so happy to be here
that
they don't care who the lame celebrity is that they're bringing out for them. Mm-hmm. We, however, have something on this show called quality control.
We know that you know, you're not, as our listeners, going to sit back and have us simply parade the not-so-good celebrities for you.
So we'll see what happens today. Today they're going to be hip with the fact that we might leave early.
Yes.
So we'll see. I hope that when we get to CBS today that the guy comes through on his promise for us to play Plinko.
Yeah, he said he's going to take us down. Apparently they have a prop room. We won't be able to get on the studio set for The Price is Right, but they have a prop room where they have all the games.
Plinko, and also the big wheel that you turn to go on the Showcase Showdown.
And I'm going to ask if they have putt-putt. I would love to play putt-putt. Hole-in-one. I'm sorry, Rob. Rob corrected me on that. It's hole-in-one. And, boy, what a good time that'll be.
Now, today when we get over there, the props are going to be good if we get to them. Bob Barker is supposed to be on the show today.
Right.
Suzanne Summers is supposed to be on the show today.
Do you want her to bring the Thighmaster?
And also Doris Roberts, a hot, hot actress.
Is she the mother on Everybody Loves Raymond?
She sure am.
Oh, man, please, whatever we do, get that interview. Get that interview, please.
Oh, and Sybil Shepherd.
Yes, Sybil Shepherd is due to arrive. Apparently, Ms. Shepherd's schedule is very flexible, so they're not sure when or even if she's going to show up.
She is due to arrive at CBS in about 3 hours. However, her ass is already there.
Oh, God.
Her ass took a separate car to go over to CBS. And I think also they were supposed to get the girl who drinks the martinis on Sybil.
Oh, really? The tall, the lanky one.
Yeah. Yes, Christine Baranski.
You know all these. Where do you file this knowledge? We're sitting there, you know, we were sitting there the other day watching Mayberry, and Rob pulls this name out of nowhere, and where do you file them?
I don't know. But you see, I don't know any states and capitals, so I make room. That's
right. So we're going to go to CBS in a second. We do have a brief change in our agenda today. We are going to go to All American Burger to do our Fast Times at Ridgemont High thing.
For all of you Fast Times at Ridgemont High fans, you're going to want to stay tuned for that. We're going to recreate a magic moment.
We are also going to go to Hollywood, and we're going to find on the Hollywood Walk of Fame the stars for disc jockeys. Like Rick Dees bought a star, and Rick and Brian bought a star.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to spit on their stars.
Patooey!
And then we had thought we were going to go to Dick Van Patten's house.
Yeah, we had talked about this for days and days and days because Dick had indicated that when we came out to Los Angeles that we could stop by.
Right. Now, yesterday, you remember that he was at the Playboy Mansion. So this morning we got up right before we were going to go on the air here, and Rob called over to Dick Van Patten. I said, call over there and make sure that Van Patten is ready for us.
A decidedly one-sided conversation that Rob had. Rob did not do much talking.
Right. Rob picks up the phone and goes, hello, Mr. Van Patten, it's Rob.
Yes.
Like 10 minutes of uh-huh, yes.
Right, sir, yes, uh-huh.
Now, Rob, I've got to find fault with you, and here's why. You never told Dick Van Patten that we wanted to come to his house to do a broadcast.
True.
You just told him, no wonder Dick Van Patten didn't want us to come over. When you called him, you said, hey, this is Rob. I'm calling for Don and Mike. Don and Mike would like to come over.
Yeah, what is, you know, is he going to just have us come over and eat, like, Wheaties in his kitchen?
You never told him that we wanted to go do a show there.
I see, in retrospect, the folly of my ways, but at the time, I didn't want to frighten him. I thought
he's a celebrity. He never met a microphone he didn't like. These people crave publicity.
You know what frightened Dick Van Patten? What frightened Dick Van Patten was the fact that two disc jockeys who he met one time had their ex-producer call to say we wanted to come over.
Pat, for the love of God, what are we going to serve them? I don't know why. They're just coming over. I don't think it's a good idea here.
I wouldn't want that either. Now, he did lie to Rob. I think it's a lie when he told Rob that he wanted to bring us with him to the Playboy Mansion yesterday.
He said he called Hef and cleared it. He said he called Hef and I have two guys I'd like to bring with me. But he said he waited until a certain time, but I had called him by that.
All right, listen. So. I want you to do this now. Pick up the phone right now. Try to call Dick Van Patten's
house. Now, he had told you that...
And do it on the speakerphone so we can
hear. He told you that he's going to tape a TV show, but let's see what happens. Let's see if he was lying to you. Because if he was lying to you, he'll answer the phone.
Right, and either way, I want you to tell him that we did not want to come over to
We have the speakerphone here. This is good.
I want you to tell him we wanted to come over to do a bit for our show. You big goof.
Well, living proof why I am your ex-producer. So there you have it.
All right, there's the ring at Dick Van Patten's house. Very exciting. See, they thought we wouldn't have the technology to do phone bits.
Don't answer the phone here.
And?
If you want Dick, leave your name and do it quick. If you want Pat, leave your name and that is that.
All right, now pick up and leave the message. Pick up and leave the message that we didn't want
to... It's Rob Spielak from the Don and Mike Show, and I just wanted to once again apologize that we missed you the other day. We were going to come by and do a bit with microphones and everything, and we thought...
Give me the phone. Hey, Dick, hi, it's Don, and Mike's here, too.
Hi, Dick, how are you? It's good to hear your voice on your machine.
Listen, I'm sorry that we scared you. We didn't want to come to your house, like, to stalk you. We wanted to come to your house with our microphones to do a little bit, but Rob never bothered to tell you that.
I we can understand you were probably a little concerned because you thought we were just going to come over and sit on your sofa and eat mints. But we actually wanted to come over and tape a bit for our show out here in Los Angeles. That was the whole purpose of that. That, unfortunately, sir, was never communicated to you effectively.
So, I don't know. Are you there now? Are you screening this call? Rob told us that you're going to go tape a show today called Lifestyles.
Yeah, if you're really doing that, then this machine is on and it's an empty house. But we were thinking you might just be hiding from us because we wanted to come over with our microphones and put you on our radio program, which we think would be good publicity.
I don't blame you for blowing us off because I would have blown us off too. Hey, but listen, were you making up that stuff about taking us to the Playboy Mansion with you?
Because if we miss that opportunity, we're going to be crying all the way back to Washington D.C.
All right, Dick, are you there? Hello, Dick. Listen, I tell you what, we're going to hang up and redial and give you a chance to pick up just in case you're there.
Okay. Thank you, Dick.
Bye-bye.
All right, now we're going to call back.
All right, now redial, please, Rob.
Well, no, he's really taping that show.
All right, do it. Tricky redial?
No, I was dialing that fast. I'm very fleet with my fingers.
It's pretty incredible.
All right, Dick Van Patten, was he screening the call or not?
If he answers, we'll know he likes us.
It's like doing the Magic 8 Ball. Come on, Dick, pick up.
And? If you want Dick, do it quick. If you want Pat, leave your name, and that is that.
All right, it's us again. I guess you're really not there.
Well, enjoy taping your TV show, and we're so sorry we missed you, and we really want to find out if we could have gone to the Playboy Mansion.
Bye, Dick.
Bye, Dick. Have a good day. And you too, Pat.
Hey, listen, what other celebrities do we have phone numbers for? Maybe we can just invite ourselves over somewhere else real fast. But I know Mike's getting hungry, so we got to go to All American Burger.
That's right, and I have a prediction that when I eat at All American Burger, it won't necessarily be the best food I've ever had.
Who are you trying?
Don Adams.
Oh, who's that? Oh,
Maxwell Smart. He's a very angry Maxwell Smart.
I don't think he'd let us come to his house.
I don't want to go to his house.
Hey, we're kind of desperate here. We got no celebrity friends.
Does he live out here?
We're using the phone in the hotel room now to call Don Adams.
You have reached the number.
CCC. That's Tennessee Tuxedo.
Try one more, Rob. Who else do you have?
Shirley MacLaine or how?
Try Shirley MacLaine.
Okay.
She's a woman who's taken our calls for years. Say, Shirley, we're in town.
We're in L.A. We'd love to come by with our microphones.
Can we come by and tape a bit with you?
Take her out to All American Burger.
All right. Calling Shirley MacLaine.
The talented Shirley MacLaine. Oscar-winning actress.
Crazy lady. Warren Beatty's sister. My lady.
Terms of endearment.
Come on, Shirley.
Hello, I'm not in. I'm in New York City.
Oh, she's on the wrong coast.
887
months. Shirley. Shirley, it's Donnie G. Listen, I'm sorry I missed you. I'm at the Bellage. I was hoping we could get together. I have a pot of cappuccino here that had your name on it. All right, baby, listen. Best in New York. My love to everybody. Ciao, baby. What, Rob?
Oh, yes.
All right,
yes.
One more. We'll try one more celebrity.
This celebrity, I think, is bigger than Dick Van Patten and Shirley MacLaine combined.
Hey, listen, are we getting the sound of the telephone on the air?
Yes, we are.
I'm amazed that we have this technology.
This is fantastic. And ladies and gentlemen, we didn't mention it. We're calling Rip Taylor.
Hollywood legend.
He's the greatest.
Hello, Rip?
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 Hello, Rip Taylor? Hi, it's Don and Mike from the Don and Mike Show on Westwood One.
See if you can put him on the speaker.
How are you? We're going to try. Can we put him on speaker? Because we're broadcasting from our hotel room right now. We're out here in Los Angeles for CBS. Can you hear us? Hold on. I'm going to put the phone down.
Hey, Rip? Oh, did we wake you up?
Did we wake you up, Rip?
Yeah.
Can we come over and see you?
Rip?
Is that the speakerphone, or did he not say anything? Rob,
wait, he's still there. We're trying to have the microphones pick up the conversation. Rip, we're in Los Angeles. We're based in Washington, D.C.
We're at the Bellage Hotel.
You've been on our show many times, and we're just calling famous people we know in Los Angeles. How are you, Rip?
Waking them up.
We're sorry. We didn't mean to wake you up. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. I hurt my back in February. I fell down the stairs and broke it.
How is the back recovering? Are you still in a cast, Rip?
Oh, it's all well.
Well, we can we
Can we come over, or is it too early?
Heading out to an audition at 10.
Oh, all right. Well, listen, excuse the ring.
No, when will you call me? We can chat.
Okay, we'll call you later.
Yeah, we'll call you actually after we get back to the East Coast, okay?
Who sleeps until noon?
Thank you very much, Rip.
Isn't it noon out here?
Yes, you can say something. We're having difficulty picking you up here, but so if you could speak up just a little bit, we'd appreciate it. Go ahead, say something.
This is Red Skelton. Just called me to go to the memorial service tomorrow in Glendale. That's where I'm going, which is an honor to be at least invited to that.
To pay tribute to a great comedian, Red Skelton.
Yes,
sir. Well, I would say enjoy yourself, but it's a very solemn occasion, Rip. We'll chat with you again.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
Bye.
All right.
I guess he's planning on sleeping till 4 or 5 o'clock this afternoon.
It is noon. Hello, it is 12 o'clock. It is 3 o'clock on the East Coast.
Well, you know, you got to give him some credit. You didn't break your back falling down the stairs.
Does Al Molinaro live out here?
Of course.
All right, dial him up.
All right, let's call Al Molinaro. We're going to our B-League celebrity file now. And you know, he'll be home, and he'll be awake.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hour 95, Maze Patrol lines open for your convenience at 381-1420. In 3 years, she's gone from like a virgin to a pistol-waving mama. The lady has moves, and I got the motion, and together we'll be causing such a commotion that the authorities will love to run us out of town. Madonna from Power 95. Hour 95 with Amaze. Hi, who is this?
I shouldn't tell you.
Why? Do I know you?
Yes, you do.
Have I seen you before?
Oh, yes. Many times.
Many times?
Many times.
I don't recognize the voice. Okay, is this Marianne?
No.
Have I had fun with you within the past 2 months?
Yes.
Okay, that cuts it down to 1,000. Are you Michelle?
No.
Are you Katie?
No.
Are you Annette?
Yes.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm waiting for you.
Because of you, I'll be right over. Power 95 with the Maze getting ready to step out in style. Got my pink shirt on, knee shoes, silk suit, black tie. My diamond ring is on, grab my top hat and coat and my white gloves. Ladies come running as fast as they can, because they're crazy about a tough-dressed man. ZZ Top and High Class from Power 95. Power 95, Kalamazoo weather. I know spring is just a couple of weeks away, but it's still going to be a tad cool driving around town with your top down tonight under clear skies, low 25. For Friday, halfway decent, mixed clouds with a high 50. Right now, 45 downtown, 41 at the airport, and 42 at Power 95. Base patrol lines open, 381-1420. Kalamazoo's power connection is Power 95 WKPR Kalamazoo. Maze at 5 p.m. with more of your favorites on the way from Whitney Houston, Bruce Springsteen, and Whitesnake from Compact Disc. Plus your chance to win a weekend for two to Los Angeles in minutes. So keep in touch on your power connection. Power 95. Power 95 KPR. Tigers take on the White Sox this afternoon in Florida in baseball action. While the Pistons are in Dixie doing battle with San Antonio, and the NCAA regional semifinals get underway tonight in Pontiac. Here's Michael. Power 95, Maze on a roll at 5:37. I knew very early in life I was different when my parents told me I was born at night, carrying a microphone and wearing sunglasses, ready to party. Corey Hart off the power lines from KPR.
The Don and Mike Show. Rated PG. Pretty good. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Well, that last segment ended abruptly, didn't it? They were just about to call Al Molinaro, and the CD player, shocker, failed here in Studio One at WJFK here in Washington, D.C. Anyway, it is the best of Don and Mike. coming down to you on the Westwood One Radio Network. I'm your host, Joe Ardinger. So, it occurred to me that, well, I could just rewind the CD and we could find out if they got a hold of Al Molinaro, and then we'll just play into the next segment. So, affiliates, in about 2 minutes and 29 seconds when you hear Don say, we'll be right back. Don't leave. I'll play a little segue music. We'll go right into the next track, which is their visit to All American Burger in Los Angeles, California. And you don't want to miss that on the best of Don and Mike.
All right, let's call Al Molinaro. We're going to our B-League celebrity file now. And you know he'll be home, and he'll be awake.
And he will probably let us come out to his house. Calling Al Molinaro now.
I guarantee he's home. Three rings, usually he picks up usually after three rings.
Al, baby.
And if he doesn't pick up, I'm very worried.
Yes.
Somebody call the authorities.
Hello.
No answering machine.
Well, taping an Encore frozen dinner commercial.
He has an answering machine.
Hello, Al? Now, listen, we've been shut out, guys. We tried Dick Van Patten. That was your fault, Rob. Shirley MacLaine, not at home. Rip Taylor, still recovering from that back accident 6 months ago and sleeping at noon.
That's right, and you heard it. He's going to the service for Red Skelton.
And Al Molinaro, not at home.
Wow.
All right, we struck out. Too bad we don't have Bernie Taupin's phone number. You know, I can't believe we didn't mention that on yesterday's episode.
Yes, Bernie Taupin actually shared a plane with us on the way from New Orleans to Los Angeles.
Because, you know, Elton John did a thing at House of Blues on Friday night, and we were in New Orleans. And when we were coming to Los Angeles, we saw this weird guy with, like, canary yellow hair and blue leather pants on.
Yes, they were baggy leather pants. Very, very, very interesting look. And, you know,
that dirty European look about him.
When you're traveling to Los Angeles, you take that in stride because everybody looks like that out here. And then we realized that we had a famous person in front of us.
He sat right in front of us. And it's a good thing that we weren't goofing on him and stuff.
Right.
Because when we got off the airplane, we saw one of those chauffeur guys with a sign that said, B. Taupin.
And being the genii that we are, the two half-brains collectively, we figured that's Bernie Taupin.
Yeah, so we missed our chance with him. All right, so we're not going to Dick Van Patten's house today.
Yeah, but I'm hungry.
All right, we're going to All American Burger. Listen, were we supposed to be at CBS now?
Not now, but soon.
All right, soon. Well, then let's do a quick break. Let's go get in the car. We'll drive over to All American Burger.
Yeah, baby.
Then we'll go to Hollywood and spit on the stars of some of the disc jockeys.
Spittooey.
And then it's off to CBS for another day of fun. So stay right there. We're glad that you're with us, and we will be right back.
We're on.
We're jamming right now with the Turtles.
What road are we on? What is this street?
So happy together. We are on Sunset Boulevard right now.
Sunset Boulevard, we love it.
Hey, look, there's Mother Teresa on a billboard.
Oh, man, they didn't wait. Mother Teresa, in the name of God's poor.
That is a younger, tighter Mother Teresa. That is an actress playing the role of a young Mother Teresa.
I think that's for an upcoming special, Don.
All right, we're on Sunset Boulevard now.
We just went by Mel's Diner.
We're going to make our way to All American Burger. We have less than an hour to make it over to Television City, where we're going to be at CBS again today.
Yes. We're all well-equipped with our neck braces today.
You know, people out here, where did they get the idea that pedestrians have the right of way?
It makes for big trouble with traffic because you have to slam your brakes on when there's a pedestrian in the crosswalk.
You know, in California, they really step in front of the car as if to say that they have the right of way.
Who do they think they are?
Who are they kidding? All right, here we go now. Look at all these big billboards, man. Michael Douglas's big face. Here's one for that Craig Kilborn guy.
And we just went by Shushani's Rent-A-Car.
Right, now there's the Comedy Store.
Right.
Who's there tonight? In the main room, Guy Tori's Fat Monday. Fat Tuesday. What is that?
Excellent.
What?
It's excellent, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, well, it seems like a lean night at the Comedy Store.
All right, who's this guy? Some guy in a Mercedes. We're at a stoplight now.
Wow.
And listen, the All-American Burger is just up the corner here.
And we're going by Sunset Strip Tattoo, so if anybody'd like to get a quick one.
Come on, come on, move it.
Oh, here come the cops. No, it's an ambulance.
It's an ambulance. Here it is. All right, let's enjoy the sights and sounds of Los Angeles. Yeah, baby, it's an exciting city.
It's hot time in the city, and it's a beautiful, beautiful day in L.A.
Gorgeous. Every day it is. But who is this guy? Danny Gans, Entertainer of the Year.
You don't know Danny Gans?
Guy looks like a slug to me. He's got all kinds of billboards up, though, doesn't he?
He does, because he is the Entertainer of the Year.
He's playing at the Rio in Vegas.
Who is Danny Gans, really?
The Entertainer of the Year.
Oh, here's a strip shop up here, Mike. The Body Shop.
Oh, it's the body? You mean like strippers?
Yeah, like, I think it might say all nude. See, live nude.
Oh, it looks filthy.
Girls, girls, girls.
Oh, absolutely filthy.
There's a cool... Oh, listen, coming up right around the corner here is that Bullwinkle the Moose store.
Chateau Marmont Hotel. Is that where John Belushi died?
Sure right is. And there's Dudley Do Right's Emporium.
Wow.
That's where you can go to buy all kinds of Bullwinkle stuff.
We are right on the main part of Sunset Boulevard.
This is it.
This is Sunset Strip. Wouldn't that be what it's called?
That's right, baby.
Sunset Strip, baby. And we're going by Wolfgang Puck's new restaurant, the California Bistro.
All right, now come on. We're in a hurry here.
Me, lady.
We're in a hurry here. We're trying to go somewhere. Let me get a good song on that we can all sing to. Hey!
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 Yeah. I love that we are doing a radio show while we are driving around. You know, this is driving our engineers crazy because they're in the car behind us,
yep,
following us with a little mini satellite.
They're doing a good job.
I'm doing my best to pull a Starsky and Hutch on them, though.
Well, you know, it's the constant stopping and starting, stopping and starting.
Mike, that is the ebb and flow of Los Angeles traffic.
Well, you seem to have it down to a science right now, and I like the fact that we're in back of Mr. Brake in his Taurus.
Johnny Pedal.
Yeah, Johnny Pedal. Now, where is that All-American Burger? It well, should be coming up soon.
We have here on the right the Chalet Gourmet.
Oh, hey, this is the that drugstore where we bought the eye patch.
Oh, that's right. It's got one-hour photo, open 24 hours.
I'm telling you, this is the world's greatest drugstore.
You can actually buy a car in that drugstore.
That's at the corner of Fairfax and Sunset Boulevard.
Now, we are heading right down into the heart of Hollywood, California right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we're just blocks away now from where all those lame stars have their walk of fame.
Right, we're coming from the area where they have Spago and some of the trendy L.A. eateries.
All right, now keep your eyes on the right-hand side. Here it is. All-American Burger.
This is it.
This is the All-American Burger that they used in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, man, I am so
all right.
Ridgemont. Ridgemont High.
All right, we're here.
And can you get up there? Oh, watch out for the parking enforcement truck.
Well, we're just going to double park it back here. This is going to be a tight one. This is going to be a tight one. And
it's a rental.
Made it.
All right.
Got it.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Hey, that was just for effect.
Oh, my God.
That one I just did for effect.
I cannot breathe.
Right, now, can we stay broadcasting while we walk?
I think we can try.
All right, did Dan follow us?
Okay, here we go.
Got my keys. Let's go.
All right, here you go.
Out of the car,
I'm
everybody.
I'm my microphone. Here it is.
Got it. Got it.
All right,
come on. All the equipment and junk. You got your, Brohill, you got your cords all caught up there. Okay. This is a finely tuned machine.
We cool?
We cool. All right.
I hope they serve breakfast in the afternoon.
I think they serve breakfast 24 hours a day here.
That's good. That's good.
All right. I think the first thing we should do is walk in and just try the line about this is not the best breakfast I've ever eaten.
Right.
Or maybe we should ask for Brad.
Brad. Yes. Is Brad here? Is he in the bathroom?
Bradley.
All right.
This is it.
We're going into All American Burger.
Welcome to All American Burger.
This is great.
Here. Hello.
Hi there.
This is it. We're in All-American Burger, seeing all their specials, the new special, new All-American Deluxe Burger, charbroiled.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, listen.
We're Don and Mike. Nice to see you.
We would like to know, is Bradley here?
Who?
Bradley?
Bradley, no.
Brad, the guy that used to work here, used to clean the window in the men's room. Is Arnold here?
Arnold?
Is Jeff Spicoli here?
No. No.
Is there a chance, I know it's late, could I get breakfast here?
Sure.
All right, fantastic. What do you offer as far as your breakfast items?
Anytime.
Anything?
Can I tell you something? I had breakfast in here yesterday, and it was not the best breakfast that I've ever eaten.
Yeah. Is it 100%? Is your breakfast still 100% guaranteed?
Excuse me. What are you?
We're doing a little radio show. We're doing a little radio show for Westwood One.
The breakfast that I had yesterday was not the best breakfast that I've ever had. Is your breakfast 100%
guaranteed? 100%
guaranteed.
The first number one in the town.
The best in town. You don't sound anything like Brad.
Listen, Brad, just open the cash register and give me my $2.79 back.
Now, can you figure out what he's doing? Do you remember the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Yes, I do.
You know how that scene where the guy comes into All America? That's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, and
you really
saw the movie, but I have an idea what it is.
So you never saw Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
No, I never.
You know, they came into this very hamburger place. Oh, hey, Mike, there's your breakfast.
Is that my breakfast?
That's your breakfast.
All right, let's good. Let's serve it up. I'm starving.
Take a bite. See, we've been waiting to do this gag. I can't believe it that you didn't play along.
Yeah, you said, you don't remember the movie that well, do you?
I don't remember.
No, you didn't. I didn't think so, yeah.
Oh. Okay, all right, well.
Like everything else in this town.
All right. Screw it.
Are we going to get food?
Oh, all right, you want to get food?
Yeah, I want to get food.
Really
can I get a breakfast?
Food.
What can I get quickly? Yes, really quick, like something. What's that? Is that mine? It's somebody else's. Funny. That's a funny joke.
16 ready.
All right.
Attention, Kmart shoppers. We have a little lost boy up front. His name is Charlie Stewang Stabilak.
This is not the best breakfast I've ever had.
No, just having fun. Just doing a little taping right there.
Attention, all American burger eaters.
What could I get that's quick, sir?
Quick. You can get a breakfast sandwich.
Could you, as quick as possible, a breakfast sandwich?
All right, I'm going to do my quick Ellen DeGeneres impression, okay?
All right.
I'm gay.
Thank Fine you. Job. All right, can I get a breakfast sandwich? Is it being made right now?
This is not the best breakfast I've ever had in my life.
Hey, Don?
Brad?
Can we go into the men's room where Bradley actually washed the window?
Oh, where they wrote, eat big, hairy.
That's right.
Can we go in the bathroom for a second, sir?
Sure, go ahead. Sure.
And order you. Me up that breakfast. Do I have to pay for it first?
Yep.
Rob, pay the man.
Okay. Let's go back to the bathroom now to see if they had the graffiti on the walls.
Yes, the Diet Coke.
The bathroom is not back here.
Oh, no. Don't tell me they don't have the bathroom.
Where is your bathroom, sir?
Probably back into the right. Back into the right.
Where is your bathroom?
Do you have a men's room here?
Right here. Right to the left.
This is not the best breakfast I've ever eaten in my life. That is a funny joke. I am sad that they do not get it.
It's a shame.
They do not get it.
Well, back in the early 80s, Don, they had high school students working here.
I guess it was about 15 years ago that movie came out.
Oh, that's the ladies' room.
All right, here's the men's room.
This is it. Let's see if it's the same window.
Yes, it is. Now,
oh, this is a disappointment.
Right.
This is an enormous disappointment.
So we're finding out now. That
tiny.
That was a prop bathroom that used.
Oh, my God.
Not
no.
The actual All-American burger.
No.
Yes.
Not even the real bathroom.
Rob, it's not the real bathroom.
Check the ladies' room.
Oh,
let's see if the ladies' room is bigger. Maybe they were in the ladies' room. It's the same size.
It's exactly the same.
Oh, God, no.
This is nothing but a total downer, man.
This is not like anything in the movie. I can't believe it. I'm so crushed. I'm so incredibly disappointed I could cry.
You know what that is? That is movie magic.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
man.
What that is.
I really thought that All American Burger was something different.
Attention, All American Burger customers. We're closing down. The health inspector is here. You know, the bathrooms that you have here were not the same bathrooms that were used in the movie.
It wasn't the same size as in the movie.
No.
Oh, that is such a disappointment. Does that mean they actually didn't shoot that scene in the bathroom here?
Well, they shoot another place in Santa Monica.
Oh,
Santa
no.
We're
at the wrong one. We're at the wrong one.
I always thought this was the actual one, Mike.
I did, too. Hello there. Hi, I'm Hercules. I'm Hercules, and I will provide you with the greatest breakfast any man could have.
And you know what else I've just noticed? When did you start selling cigarettes? That's something you don't often see in a fast food restaurant, cigarettes.
Always to do it before we have a machine over there.
Oh, all right, Mike, you got your breakfast?
Yeah, I've got it right here.
Take a bite, and then you can tell him. Hey, that looks appetizing. Would you rather eat that sandwich or Beatrice Arthur's shoe?
I didn't know truth to happen.
Hey.
I gotta be honest with you.
Yeah?
It says 100% guaranteed, this is not the best breakfast I've ever had.
We love that gag.
Hey, we've had big fun, sir.
Thank you for letting us in your all-American burger.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome here.
And what is your name?
My name is Santos.
Santos, do you have some documentation that proves that you're illegal in this country?
Sure, I'm a citizen.
You're a citizen?
Where you go, Santos?
Yeah.
Who's the president?
Bill Clinton.
Yeah!
Bill Clinton.
There
you
go.
You got it. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Santos.
Bye-bye. Wow.
Yeah, we went to the wrong All-American burger.
Sorry. My bad, Mike. I always thought that this was... It looks like the one, doesn't it?
Well, at least, you know, in the afternoon you can get breakfast.
All right, let's go back to the car.
Yeah, crank it, baby.
We look like such idiots driving along.
We are the village idiots. We look so non-LA.
Let a girl that makes me feel the way that you do.
Oops.
You're all right.
Never a man
who makes my dreams real. I tell you true.
You're out of sight.
Tiddly-dee, tiddly-dum. Look out, baby, because here I come.
Whoa.
I'm bringing you a love that's true. Get ready!
All right, I'm feeling stupid.
We're getting looked at. We're getting smiled at, and I think that says something in Los Angeles. People have time to smile, even when they're idiots in a car.
All right, now, we are at the corner now, the famous corner, guys, of Sunset and Vine.
Sunset and Vine, very famous intersection in Los Angeles.
So think about this. See the big building right there, the bank building in front of us?
Yes.
That is where Kiss FM is.
You used to work there.
Yes, picture me driving my moped to work
every day.
I used to have to take Vine Street up here to get to the radio station.
It's such a busy intersection. You must have nearly been killed many times on your moped.
Fortunately, I have cat-like reflexes, Mike, on my moped.
That's why we are all secure in this vehicle today, because of those cat-like reflexes.
All right, now, when you see you got some of the stars right there?
Yeah, that's where the...
On the Walk of Fame?
The Walk of Fame begins.
So what we should probably do is pull up and ask somebody. You think that's a homeless guy sitting on the park bench there?
Yeah, and he doesn't look like he's awake, Don. He's probably in the same condition that Rip Taylor was in.
We'll have to ask... Ask somebody where the Rick Dees star is.
Jonathan Nahum.
See, Rick Dees and Mark and Brian are disc jockeys who we hate, and we want to spit on their stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
All right.
Can you read some of the names there?
Let's see. I see Oliver Hardy.
Oh, he's good.
Helen something. Neil Sedaka.
Let's ask this guy up here by the pickup truck if he knows where the Rick Dees star is. Excuse me, sir.
Can you answer a question for us? We're looking for Rick Dees' star on the Walk of Fame. Do you know where Rick Dees' star...
Come on.
You don't know where it is?
How about Mark and Brian?
Mark and Brian, the disc jockey? You don't know. Okay.
All right.
Fibber,
Rick
Taylor. Fibber McGee and Molly is right there.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
All right. These seem like the older stars. Maybe we have to go up a little further.
You know what? I'm just going to park here. We're just going to have... You know what? Let me go up around the corner
there's
here.
There's an officer right there.
Oh, hey, there's a cop. Maybe the cop would know.
Okay.
To serve and protect.
Excuse me, officer. Can you tell us where Rick Dees' star is on the Walk of Fame?
Right around here?
Right around here. Well, thank you, sir.
Fantastic.
That was one of L.A.'s finest right there that helped us, and he said it's right around here.
Pull into a parking spot.
All right. We're going to hop out.
We're going to do that fire drill again where we all get out of the car.
You got to take my microphone.
All right. Hold on. I got it. And here we go. All right. Oh, hey, look, Dan was able to follow in. Rob,
some of these names I just don't recognize.
I got a brainstorm. Do you guys have a Sharpie with you, a magic marker?
I have one in my briefcase, I think. Hold on.
Because have you noticed that there are some blank stars?
Yes. We could get our very own star.
Why not write our own names on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? Man, there are some scary people in this town, aren't there?
There certainly are.
Look at Rob. Boy, has he been working out or what?
I tell you, he is svelte. He looks like he's ready to go. He's having some serious exercise routines.
We are right now simply staring at Rob's ass as he leans into the car.
Now, Don, that celebrity theater right across the street.
That was the Merv Griffin celebrity theater.
Right. All right, now Don is going over to a blank star. There are lots of blank stars.
All right.
And he's going to write down two people that should be in there. Don, and Mike. Ladies and gentlemen, Rob, get a good shot of that. Come around the right way so
take
you can get
a picture of it.
All right, here we go.
Take a picture. Here we are.
Here we are.
We are on the Hollywood Walk of Fame like the other disc jockeys. And there's one more thing I want to do. I want to go back and write something under Rick Dees' name. Except it's got spit all over it now.
Yeah, if you want to put your hands on that thing.
I won't. Just the pen, okay? Rick Dees
is gay. Is it gay? All right, there it is. There it is. Rick Dees is it gay. You want to go up this way? A little further along. We got Mae West. Charlie Tuna.
All right. Let me write something there.
Oh, God. These are names.
Hey, the Three Stooges.
The Three Stooges are right here. Oh, my God.
Shemp.
The Stooges.
Suck.
Oh, that's so cruel. Shemp's okay.
I'm writing with a magic marker on the names on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
We've got Ava Gardner. We are having Art Linkletter. Fantastic. We are in the middle of the Walk of Fame.
Let's go across the street and see if there's one more name we can write on. Then we got to head over to CBS. All right, there is, Frank Sinatra. I'm not going to write anything on his name.
No, that'd be dangerous.
What if I wrote WAP?
That'd be seriously dangerous.
Tennessee Ernie Ford. Orson, I'll write Orson Welles.
All right.
Pig.
All right.
Fellas, you're losing your head.
Oh, God. Yes, and now the authorities are going to throw us right out of town.
Oh, golly, this is fun.
Well, here we are. It's beautiful Los Angeles. And now we're in the real thick part of all the Clark Gable. But, you know, a lot of these names,
Richard
like...
Richard Dix.
Cary Grant.
Donna Reed.
Donna Reed, wow.
Ann Southern. Give me one more good name. One more. We're going to run out of range here. We got to stop.
Yeah, we got to bag it pretty quick.
Who is Leroy Anderson?
I'm not sure who Leroy is.
Robert Young.
Hey, it's the Juices Fountain.
Estelle Taylor. Roy, I don't want to write anything bad about Roy Rogers.
No, you don't write bad about good people.
Arlene Dahl. Oh, Charlton Heston.
I'm the NRA.
All right, NRA sucks. N-R-A
sucks.
Okay, that's enough for one day.
That's enough to get us into jail for a night.
We have left our mark on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
It's a beautiful, beautiful day in Los Angeles.
All right, listen, let's break for a real fast commercial set. When we come back, hopefully by the time we get done with the commercials, we should be pulling up to CBS Television City for day number two.
And, of course, the greatest moment of our lives, the chance to rub elbows with Bob Barker.
Okay, we'll be right back. Don't forget, Orson Welles is a pig, and Charlton Heston, the NRA sucks. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, folks, if you've looked high and low for a cruise ship cuisine on dry land and you like dining in the round, you'll want to come down to Hank's Look Around Cafe. That's Hank's Look Around Cafe, 336 Melrose, where you and your food go on an adventure.
You know, I was thinking about investing in that. I mean, I
really?
Like the idea of the rotating around and looking at the city. Of course, if you're a smoker, you'd have to smoke and then stop and then light up again when you came in your section. Well, listen, I think it's a great idea. Yeah. Great idea.
You're gonna hit me. You're gonna do something.
No, it's a great idea.
Yeah. Okay. Smokey and the Bandit. That was it. That was a great idea. And Cannonball Run. That was a great idea. Ooh, bravo.
The Don and Mike Show. We apologize in advance for Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right, and welcome back to the best of Don and Mike all across the nation on the Westwood One Radio Network. I'm your host, Joe Ardinger. Well, Don and Mike are in Los Angeles. Let's get right back into it. They make it to CBS to interview some celebrities, among them Doris Roberts and Suzanne Summers on the best of Don and Mike.
Welcome back.
Thank you, Dan. And joining us now, Doris Roberts. And, you know, I've seen you on so many shows. You were Angie's mother.
Yeah.
On that show with Donna Pesco.
That's right.
You were also, you were on St. Elsewhere, weren't you?
I won an Emmy for a part on St. Elsewhere.
You are an Emmy Award winner.
Hey.
And now you are Raymond's mother.
I've been everybody's mother.
You've been everybody's mother?
Sure.
That could be your very own series, Everybody's Mother.
This is Doris Roberts, and she is... Dan, I'm getting all kinds of... There you go. I was getting a little bit too much hum in my headphones.
Hum in my headphones. That's a song title, isn't it?
Hum in my headphones.
That is some behind-the-scenes technical stuff that you don't have to worry about,
okay.
Doris.
Great.
Is that water you're drinking?
No, it's gin.
Well, you know, I don't know. Do you often drink it? This? Can I sample it? Thank you.
Here we go.
I'm going to put my lips the same place that your lips were.
Oh, my God. No. Things are happening.
It tastes all lipsticky. You want to try it, Mike?
Do you mind, Doris?
Not at all, honey.
Yeah.
Beef eaters.
Hey, yeah.
Way to go. Exquisite taste.
So now Doris here is the mom of Raymond.
That is a great show. He is just a natural guy.
Perfect.
And it must be a lot of fun to work on that show.
It's great fun. And then there's Brad Garrett, who's also another stand-up.
You see the big guy with the big voice, like that.
And then Peter Boyle, who plays my husband.
He's got to be a nut to work with.
Absolutely. They all are. And Patty Heaton. It's a wonderful show.
So how long have you been in Hollywood, Doris?
20 years.
20 years?
Yeah.
And what was the first show, the first TV show that you were on out here?
Mary Tyler Moore.
And what did you do on Mary Tyler Moore? What was that role?
I was the head of an employment agency, and Cloris Leachman came in to get a job. It was pretty funny. What's interesting is that I did a play on Broadway. I was on Broadway for 20 years before I came out here. So now we've counted to 40, right? She's older than 40, kids.
That's okay. Pretty interesting to make that. You wait that long to make the switch out to Hollywood. And,
was on Broadway, and
right.
I was working all the time. But she saw me do a play called Bad Habits. I'd won the Outer Critics Circle Award for that play. And Lily Tomlin brought me out here to do her show,
right.
Which was a Lily Tomlin... Well, she can't speak to that.
Are you sure that is water?
It is.
You want some more beef eaters there?
It's the Lily Tomlin.
Okay. You just love coming out here talking to all these radio people.
So what I'm saying is, it was Lily Tomlin.
You know, you're a great actress. Play the rest of the interview drunk. Okay. Go ahead. Just play it drunk.
Let me ask you. So it was Lily Tomlin. Who brought me out here?
Do you drink? Do you often? Let me ask you this: do you ever drink in the morning, Doris?
We prefer to drink in the morning.
Is there any mornings that I don't drink?
You do not.
Well, no, I don't.
How about when you're doing something like this, when you have to do a cattle call thing, where you come into a room and there are 10 stupid disc jockeys here, and you have to sit down, and I'm guessing each disc jockey, like we have, asks you the same stupid stuff. I would think that would drive you to drink. No?
No, it makes me laugh.
It makes you actually enjoy this?
Yes, I do.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, I'm having a good time. What about you guys?
Well, now that you're here, baby.
it was pretty lean up until your arrival, but now we're having a blast, you know. But as far as the drinking in the morning, I recommend it highly. You know, we've had a lot of early morning flights, I normally 4 or 5 Bloody Marys before we even take off. It's great.
And a flask in your purse.
A nice little silver one with my initials on it.
Let me ask Doris, how many Bloody Marys do you think Mike had on the plane ride out here? We took an early morning flight.
Excuse us, just a second. I'm going to put on the Hollywood stuff.
Okay.
And this is a real contest, Doris. I'll give you an extra plug for your show if you can guess how many Bloody Marys he had on the plane ride out here.
Tell me how long the flight was.
4 hours.
It was a 4-hour flight. About 3 hours and 50 minutes.
How many Bloody Marys?
Where were you sitting?
I was in the front of the plane.
I would say...
They were free, Doris, if that was the question.
I'd say 6.
6? Oh, you're so close.
6.
He had 5 Bloody Marys, Doris.
It was 5. Way to go. I still think that's pretty good. Give her the prize.
One was a double, Rob.
That's right, Bob. She's won the new armoire.
So we'll give you another free plug for your show.
Please do. It's a great show.
So are you married?
No, I'm a...
Oh.
No.
You're not married, Doris.
Give me a see that. Look at that.
Look at what? Your
teeth?
That's
long in the tooth.
Oh.
That's great.
Listen, you're not married?
No.
You're not gay. So you
I don't
are,
think so.
Okay. We ask everybody, since Ellen came out, we just want to ask.
We figured that, you know, all of Hollywood is going to make the switch this season with the popularity of Ellen. Everybody's going to say
I want to tell you, you want to go see a funny movie, go see In-N-Out.
You like that movie?
Oh, it's fabulous.
You know, when I used to live out here, I used to have those In-N-Out bumper stickers on my car. And if you cut off some of the letters, it says In-N-Out Urge instead of In-N-Out Burger. So I had a sticker on my car that said In-N-Out Urge.
Do we know how this man lives now?
He lives in the fast lane, and that's why we went to All American Burger, and then we drove by In-N-Out Burger out here. Lots of different burgers.
And you didn't go to Pink's?
Pink's?
Excuse me?
Could you tell us about Pink's, Doris? We're not familiar with that. No, what really, we don't know. What is it?
Pink's?
Famous on La Brea.
Oh, you mean the hot dog place?
Yes. Yeah. Is there another thing called Pink?
Oh, well,
it's not Angelina, is it?
No, we were thinking of something else.
I saw.
I told Chuck Norris that he had more billboards than Angelina.
Oh, really? You know, I went by Sunset Boulevard, had a little establishment. Was that called Pink's or was that the other place? I'm not sure.
That was the Body Shop.
Oh, the Body Shop.
Oh, my God. No.
I don't
frequent those places.
You don't go?
No.
Right.
So we've established now that you're a single, successful gal living out here in Southern California. Right?
I love this guy. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And I love you too, Doris. Okay. And I want to ask you an upfront question.
Sure.
Would you consider having sex with me?
Now, hold on. We're just asking it's a legitimate question.
Now, your publicist is going to put... Are you a CBS person here? We are goofing around.
We're just having fun. It's just a little joke. It's a little joke.
We're goofing.
We got to go.
We're goofing around. I'm kidding.
If the lighting was right and the spirit moved you, would you ever with this man?
Maybe it was...
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe if I phrased it another way.
Absolutely.
Would you ever consider going on a date with me?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's two affirmatives. And she did answer the first question in the affirmative.
Please understand. I'm serious now. Don't be offended. I'm just being
goofy. She's not offended at all.
I'm not offended.
It's a
you know how many offers I get at this age?
Okay. All right. Well,
Thank you, Doris Roberts. Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. Nice to meet you.
Thank you very much. And good luck with Everybody Loves Raymond. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And now the publicist is very angry at us as whisking us away.
Oh, look,
here we go.
She's patting her on the back like, that was so rough for you.
Can I be honest with you?
I was goofing around.
Can I be honest? The problem here is not these wonderful people that come by. The problem here, there are so many damn people floating around, hovering around.
Listen, maybe I shouldn't have been so upfront to say, would you have sex with me?
Well, I thought it was a lovely question, and you phrased it so well.
I was just kidding.
Just having a little bit of fun, and now
just a joke.
Everybody seemed. Is it something about today? Is it something about the Tuesday atmosphere where people are just a little uptight?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so. All right. Well, listen, Doris Roberts. We established the fact that she's single.
Hey, but the support network smiles all around, fellas. Fantastic.
Well, Mike, it's the awkward moments that make our show popular.
I couldn't agree with you more.
And that was a big one. Yeah, like I would do Doris Roberts. Okay.
No.
Right. Joke. Hello.
Yeah. Right. I know the truth. I'm sitting right next to you. I can feel the heat.
I tasted a lipstick.
I know you did. You know, what no one notices, when you picked up that cup and took a sip, you ran your tongue under the lip of the glass. I saw.
You saw me.
I saw.
All right.
Enough mouth.
That is Doris Roberts. Yeah, I will meet her later at Pink's.
Pink's, fantastic.
We will share a hot dog later tonight. All right, well, that would be the first one we've done that's gone really badly.
I don't think so.
My apologies. My bad.
Can I tell you something? And I was observing the entire byplay there. Doris was unfazed by that, thought it was funny, and the publicist just went nuts.
Yeah. So I should have given her some background. I should have told her that when we were out here before that June Lockhart had kissed me.
You got all hot and bothered.
I have a thing
you do
for older Hollywood women.
And with June Lockhart, the last time that you were in L.A., you know, you actually ended up in a cocktail lounge giving her a kiss.
She kissed me. And I thought, you know, hey, Doris Roberts tells us that she's not married.
Yeah, what you should remember, though, is that these stars don't bring their publicists to the cocktail lounges. That's the whole thing. That's the key. And that's where they can let their hair down a little bit and relax and enjoy themselves just a wee bit more.
I didn't want to hurt her feelings, but...
Well, you know, her feelings were not hurt. I swear to God, I was sitting across from the woman. You heard what she said. Absolutely. That was the answer. But everybody... in this entire half of the room had this reaction like, oh, my God, what did he say? Oh, my God, what did he say? That's terrible. That's terrible. Put him away. Lock him up. Throw away the key.
All right. Well, that's how it goes.
It was fine. And you know, for a moment there, I think it was the energy that was part of that interview. The heat seemed to rise a little bit, and I believe that heat was coming off of you.
I will tell you why. I just flat out asked her to have sex with me.
Why? What motivated you? I was surprised at the question.
Well, it was because she said, I said she's a single successful gal.
Which she acknowledged.
And then she said, oh, I'm loving this guy.
Yeah,
and
he loves this. You have always known
that. There's my opportunity.
The door is open. The door is slightly ajar. You might as well storm right through and go for it.
Plus, could you have picked a safer woman? If I was to call home and say to Frida, listen.
That's right.
I had an affair out here in California.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope you can forgive me because I had an affair with the mom from Everybody Loves Raymond.
But people don't realize that you go for those older women. You always have. You always will.
She said herself that it's been a long time since she's had that type of attention from a man.
And she said she loved you. She loves this guy. And she pointed and she said, I love this guy.
And then you should have seen Olive Oil, her publicist.
Going nuts.
Who got very uptight. Now, first off, we made a mistake by giving the publicist her own set of headphones.
That's forbidden. They're not able to listen. You know, even let them hear with their own ears. No headphones.
So the CBS publicist was listening to that. And as soon as I said that, she takes the headphones off. She goes, that's it. We're done. And now since then...
Very melodramatic the way she did that.
There have been no more CBS stars coming our way.
No, are we being boycotted? Rob, Charles Broyhill, have you found out anything about that?
I've heard nothing as to a boycott being implemented.
have you... Kind of tough to hear anything as you're sitting here with your feet up in the back corner
yes,
of the room,
is.
Isn't it?
Do you guys see any other celebrities walking around here? What happened to Barker?
He was whisked off down to the other part of the room. We're going to get him special.
We're going to get him special. Is that like getting a nice sandwich special?
A sandwich special, yes.
I make it for you special.
And when are we going to go spin the wheel and do the Plinko junk?
Shortly. Beau is still getting those props together for us.
And people don't realize that the guy that's helping us here in the Los Angeles is Beau Hopkins. He does the cigarettes commercials with the blonde hair, and he's the Jerry Reed lookalike that's actually
doing
all our work for us.
You get the prize being the first to mention Jerry Reed on this trip.
Jerry!
Doris Roberts. Marie, and everybody loves Raymond. Oh, here comes Suzanne.
Oh, my God, it's Suzanne Summers.
Yeah, I hope we get her first.
Do we get her first? We want her first.
Yeah, bring her over.
We don't want to wait. We don't want to wait for Suzanne Summers.
Look at that. She's standing right here, right in front of us.
That's right. Sit down, Suzanne.
With her half-eaten muffin and everything.
Oh, wow.
They told me you were the most outrageous of all of them here.
Not true. We're very well behaved.
I told you it's a bad rap. Did this guy tell you that?
I can't tell that.
How are you, Suzanne?
Fine. How are you?
Fine. Pleasure to meet you. I'm Don. That's Mike.
How do you do?
How are you?
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Nice. Okay, shake your hand. Look. Yeah. Well, you got muscles, don't you, Suzanne?
Oh, well, you know, I happen to have this thing called Thigh Master. It works for the upper arms, too, you know.
Yeah, can you use the Thigh Master?
You forced me into that plug.
That's
all right.
And we love the Butt Master, too.
And, I'm doing well.
Okay, good.
Now, is this, did you bring this yourself, or is
I'm trying to have breakfast. This is, this actually wouldn't work on my eating program because it has sugar in it.
Oh, really? No sugar at all?
Yeah, on weekends.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm real good all week, and then on weekends I go, who cares?
So do we.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact. Our feeling is,
have some fun, you know.
Well, we work out so much during the week, and, you know, the constant dieting that actually on the weekend, you just, you throw caution to the wind. That's the way we look at it.
Good for you.
There you go.
Speaking of, could I have a bite of that muffin?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Can I? You want me to break it off, or can I actually
bite
it?
I can. Do you have any diseases I should know about?
There's a couple bad teeth.
Will you be eating the rest of this muffin now?
Yes, I will. Yeah.
That is cool. I think that's a very good sign that this interview is going to go well.
You're right.
Later, I'm going to go back to my room, and I'm going to throw this up, and I'm going to have it bronze.
Save it.
My meeting with Suzanne Summers. Now, listen.
Let's count the number of people
you're
right
sick,
now.
You
One,
know.
Two, three, four, five. There are lots of people observing us. Are you guys nervous in any way about this this interview?
Very nervous.
Yeah? No, don't bring that microphone.
I'll tell you, Suzanne, why I watch your show, because I have a kid who has grown up as your show has been on.
Uh-huh.
And now that it's on another network, we will turn and watch it on this network.
Yeah.
You know, she does the show with Bobby Ewing.
Right.
The guy
right.
from Dallas.
Patrick Duffy, right? Patrick Duffy. And what's it like working with Pat? You enjoy him?
He's not Bobby Ewing.
He's not Bobby Ewing.
Yeah, he's really the guy who he plays on this show. He's
right.
This goofball.
So it's typecasting for the role that he
have
has.
Have you met him?
No, we haven't.
He's
we haven't had the
so
pleasure.
He's so funny. He's a real guy's guy. He's very, very funny.
Mm-hmm. I hope you're not offended. I called him Bobby Ewing. I'm one of those people who watches TV. And you're still Chrissy.
I'm Chrissy.
I mean, you're Chrissy. You're also on this show, but you'll always be Chrissy.
Have any of the disc jockeys in the room sung the theme to...
No, but will you do that?
Come and knock on our door.
Yeah,
waiting for you. Hers and hers and mine. These companies.
You know who was an unsung hero on that show was the great Norman Fell.
Norman Fell.
He
a genius.
He lives down the street from me. We're neighbors. We actually are really neighbors.
No, you're
in
kidding.
Real life.
Do you work out together?
No.
You don't do any
no,
work
but
together.
He has a really young wife now.
Does he? How old
really
is his wife?
Young. I don't know, but really young. Much younger than me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Norman
yeah.
Fell.
Yeah.
Wow, with a trophy wife.
Yeah.
Don't think of that.
Yeah.
What about, what was her name? Audra Lindley? Mrs. Roper.
Mrs. Roper,
yeah,
Audra
no, I
Lindley.
I haven't seen her in a long time. Nor have I seen Joyce I saw John once.
John Ritter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you know, when you left that show, there were all kinds of big stories about... you almost had a David Caruso thing going back then.
It was the original brouhaha.
Yes, you were the moody Suzanne Summers.
Because I was the first female who asked for a big raise when my contract was up. And they had decided they were going to make an example of the next big star who asked for a big raise, and I just walked right into that one.
It's really out here. I mean, we've talked to other people that have had similar situations where you got to kind of scratch and claw to get it done. I mean, people are going to try to take advantage of talent if they can. If they can get away with it, they're going to, or let me put it this, they're going to get as much out of you as they can. Isn't that right?
What you have to know as the talent is you have to really be able to assess your power in terms of realistically looking how popular you are and how much you mean to the network.
Right.
If they can do it without you and still bring in the same profits from the advertisers, you're not going to get anything. And I had miscalculated because I just thought that Chrissy was so unique that, and the show was number one,
right,
that I could get paid what Alan Alda was getting paid. But I miscalculated.
Screw him. You are so much better than Alan Alda. I was watching, when we were down in New Orleans, I was watching a rerun of MASH.
Uh-huh.
And it was towards the end of MASH where they started doing all the shots on location in the set, so you could tell they weren't even outside.
Right.
It was like they were in a room that's lit like this room. We're supposed to believe that it's Korea. He sucks. You are so much better than Alan Alda.
Sorry, Alan. I just used you as an example, Alan.
Yes, not your fault. We accept total responsibility for what we
No, it was just a point I was trying to make, and I was ahead of my time. But as I look at women getting big salaries now, I think maybe I paved the way.
That's good.
I think they deserve, like, you know, Roseanne was making some enormous amount of money, and I was sitting next to the president of ABC at the time, and I said, wow, that's a lot of money. And he said, she's worth it. She brings in enough profits to where we can afford to pay her that. And I said, that's right. That's how it works, isn't it? He said, absolutely.
You were also on the edge of the, pretty much on the edge of the fitness thing, too, with the Thighmaster.
Yeah.
I mean, you started doing that. How long has that product been on the market?
That was like 1990.
So it's been out there for a while.
Yeah,
and of course, as you can tell, we use them every day.
You're working out and dieting during the week.
I'm actually using it right now.
Right now.
As we speak.
I was wondering why you were jiggling under the table.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. You know what I've noticed about Suzanne Summers?
What's that?
She shaves her armpits. You're not a bohemian. I never thought you would be. But, you know, I noticed that when you look at
me. Oh, yeah, a pit shot. God bless you, Suzanne Summers, for doing that for us.
That's not an American thing. American women shave under their arms, don't they?
Not all American.
Right. No, they don't.
There are certain, you know, we've seen examples.
Funky.
Yeah, it does get a little
funky.
Now,
in Europe, they don't. You see these beautiful women in Europe, and then they go, hello, bonjour, and
yes,
then, you know, braids
especially
are
the
under
French.
Their arms. Yeah.
A little
the
difficult
French
to get used to. How do you feel your personal take on the underarm hair situation?
Well, it stinks.
Yeah.
Yes.
It just does. You get in a crowd of people over there and you go, man, they stink.
So are you happy now that your show has gone from ABC to CBS? Are you happier here?
Oh, it's a great gift. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought it was over last year, and suddenly we get a call saying Les Moonves bought the show for a year or two.
Oh, good.
So,
and listen,
this is bonus time for me, and maybe on CBS, they'll get a whole new life. Maybe I'll be here for another 7 years. That would be great.
Well, you know, you brought Urkel with you.
I brought Urkel.
He's
Who's the
man.
Doll? Has he been in here?
We
no.
haven't talked to Urkel. We haven't had the pleasure of speaking with Urkel yet, but does
he
it feel good
doll.
To be part of the Urkel family?
I love him. We've been taping next to one another for 7 years. So.
How weird is it being around Urkel? When he's off the set, he talks like a regular. He's a grown-up man, right?
I know.
He's 50 now. Isn't he about 50 years old?
He has philosophy and thoughts about things. He's really smart, and he, you know, drives a incredible car and has an incredible house.
What kind of car does he drive?
Like that top of the line Mercedes convertible, with a lot of letters.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I obviously don't have one.
What do you drive? What is your car?
Oh, I'm it's not very cool. Right now we have one car, and it's a van conversion.
Like a big van
no
conversion
way.
Like you
yeah.
see a
with
football
those big
game?
Captain chairs and that
Yeah,
joke?
And I have TV in the back seat and VCR and my own phone line because my husband's always on the phone.
And you drive that around L.A.?
Yeah, I don't drive. He drives.
He does the driving?
He drives, and it's his office.
With the cup holders in it and everything?
Yeah, and it makes into a bed. And I mean,
does it have a shark tank in it?
No, it doesn't.
Just
but I just ordered a Seville.
Oh, a Cadillac Seville.
You're way too young
for
a Cadillac.
I
think it's a perfect car for you.
I buy American.
You know, once again, I've been taking a lot of heat because I'm thinking about getting
American?
I'm thinking about buying a Cadillac.
They're nice.
And, they're terrific.
And the new Seville is state of the art. The
really?
New 98.
That's nice. You can drive that all the way to the funeral home.
You can go to my funeral. I'll give you mine.
You know, I'm glad to meet
what
another Cadillac
owner. You think I should drive a Mercedes?
You?
No, you should drive like one of those Vipers.
You should have a fancy car.
All
like
my
that.
Kids on the show have those. I don't know. I don't drive. I drive twice a year.
Yeah. Do you go out a lot in Los Angeles? Do you go to a lot of the benefits, charity things, and premieres and all
no,
that?
No, not a lot.
Not a lot.
Would you stop it?
Now, what is the sign? Can I see the sign? Let me see the sign.
She does right. not
we
have
gotta go.
To go anywhere.
I think I should have a cooler car.
Look at the little face he draws on it. With a little frowny face. All we right. got to go.
I'm going to write you a note back. I think I should have a cooler car.
All right. I'm going to write you a little note back, okay? How do you like that?
That's the note I wrote to Tom Snyder.
Oh, really?
Oh, do you not like Tom Snyder?
I love him, but he said something about me on the air one day, and so I sent him that note.
There you go.
He called me all day long going, I'm sorry, and I wouldn't take his calls.
Good for him.
You're the greatest.
Or good for you.
you're terrific.
And I should have a cooler car.
You should.
I should. But I want to buy American. And to me, the coolest American car is the Cadillac.
And I couldn't agree with you more, Suzanne. And Rob right. giving you the thumbs up, too. Yes, Cadillac owner.
All right, there she goes. Can I have another bite of your muffin?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I'm not going to have any breakfast left.
Suzanne Summers, thank you so much.
Very nice meeting you.
And good luck on CBS.
Thanks. Bye-bye. 9:30 Friday night.
We got you. Bye-bye.
She's nice.
And
she's so nice.
You are just a nudge, buddy. Get out of here. Our little publicist.
Publicists, we're rapidly realizing, are not our friends.
He wrote a note that said, wrap it up with a little face on it that had a little frown. So I wrote him a note back that said, F off. And I put a little smiley face underneath it.
I know. Yeah. She was simply charming.
You know, I don't think that Suzanne Summers wanted to leave us.
No. Suzanne Summers could have spent the bulk of the afternoon with us here.
And I just want it noted for the record that I ate her muffin.
You did indeed, right out of the chute. You did indeed. I'm simply using that as an expression, don't you know? How is that muffin? And how does it taste? I haven't had the chance to ask you how the muffin tastes.
It's a little dry.
Now, Rob is writing down a note that says she's wearing a thong.
How do you know that, Rob? How do you know? What, did you see her or what?
Visible line.
You know, you think you're such a thong expert ever since you started wearing them. And I...
Rob's thong is a big piece of rope.
Mine is thong, but it's boxers.
Actually, the it's a rope thong that's used to, like, anchor cruise ships.
It's a Queen Mary.
All right. Suzanne Summers.
And it's so, you know, it makes us feel so frustrated as they immediately whisk her off to another disc jockey.
Yeah, a disc jockey who won't treat her with the same reverence that we did.
I thought we treated her with incredible reverence. And it's good to know that, once again, another great American is going to be a Cadillac owner. A car that will be in my garage before 1998.
Yeah, baby. Two beautiful women in a row. First Doris Roberts and then Suzanne Summers.
Fantastic. We're in that L.A. mode now, baby.
We are up on a break and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now, as you know, the San Diego Zoo is one of the finest zoos in the world, and we've had this young lady on the show very often the past, I guess, 7 or 8 years she's been appearing with
us. 9 years. About 9 years.
Right, yeah. Several plus several would be about nine.
You said 7 or 8.
No, I said... I didn't say 7 or 8. I said several.
Then you said 7 or 8, and I said 9. Yeah.
9. Good, thank you.
Yeah. Some of the animals you had as babies are now 10 years old.
That would be about right.
Remember the animals that did something funny on your tie?
Yes.
Those little lions, the little baby lions, were 1 year old.
That's right.
They are now treacherous and ferocious 10-year-old animals.
Okay. Anyway, Joan Embry is here tonight.
And she's now 32.
That's right. Joan is an animal handler and a trainer. And you really think you're fooling everybody, don't you?
No.
And she
I'm
also...
I'm here to do my best to help you.
I know that. And she does her 3 horse shows a day. Did you know that? At the animal park.
Boy.
What?
What an exciting idea.
Would you like an army cot or something? Maybe just to kind of catch up on a little, little nappy poo? Just might snap you right out of it. Okay.
I love Joan. I'm the only one who went down to see Joan. Doc has never seen her. You've never seen her. I went to the Wild Animal Farm.
It's all right, it's all right. Look, hey,
but you're upsetting me.
No, no, I don't upset you.
I went down, Joan, and I
know you did. That's all right. It's all right.
Don't say...
What?
I know her. I went down and...
Oh, I know you did. I know you went down there. And
I held a baby gorilla.
I couldn't go with you that week. You held a baby gorilla. Good, all right. And let's get her out here quickly. Would you welcome Joan Embry?
The Don and Mike Show.
They only hit you because they love you. Don and Mike.
And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Coming to you across the country from Westwood One Radio. I'm your host, Joe Ardinger, and, I have to apologize. I was getting some papers in order. I don't always have my stuff together when it's time for my cue. So that's how it is. Anyway, Don and Mike are in L.A., and in this segment, they interview Sybil Shepherd. Whatever happened to her? Let's find out. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Part of the reason that lots of these celebrities are afraid of us, it's because the disc jockey from WPOW is telling them, and hey, do you think they've ever done like a prisoner of war thing with that?
POW, we're going to take you prisoner, baby. That's the way it's going to work.
Anyway, he has been telling all of the celebrities to be worried about us.
That we're very dangerous?
Yeah.
That's not fair.
So I'm listening, I'm eavesdropping to Sybil Shepherd being interviewed by this guy, and she says that she's going to be on the Tom Snyder Show.
And where we were on the set yesterday.
Yeah, and he starts telling her that we took the mints. Tom Snyder's used mints out of his spittoon yesterday.
Isn't that breaking the brother disc jockey code of ethics?
I think, so, you know, there's a guy who wouldn't have the guts to go on Tom Snyder's set to begin with, much less eat his used breath mints as Rob and I did yesterday.
And, you know, if someone's going to tell that story about us, we'd like to tell that story about us. That's what we'd like to do. But you know something?
Yes, Mike?
We're realizing slowly but surely that we are wearing our welcome out here. We're starting to get the looks. We're starting to get the kind of cross-eyed looks from the powers that be here, but we're hanging in there.
I'm sure that was not helped by that burp that Charles Broyhill just let out during the commercial.
That was just terrific. Do you have any even remote idea how loud that was?
Not a clue.
See, it was the loudest thing I've ever heard. Everyone heard it.
See, here's the thing. During the commercial set, we all sit here with our headphones on, and we talk to each other, and no one can hear what we're saying. So it's real cool. We whisper to each other.
We were actually having a lot of fun making little eating sounds because they served a little food here. And we were making little eating sounds that go back to our studio in Washington.
And then Broyhill let a guttural burp go.
It was really a rivaling...
Turned heads throughout the room.
Rivaling that of former employee Stimpy, who used to do it. And he needed soda pop for that to work. He really did.
Now, the guys from CBS, the main guy, Bo from CBS, came over during the set, and we had a little discussion about who we would want on and who we wouldn't want on in the last hour of the show. So it's Sybil Shepherd, and she should be coming our way next.
Yes.
And then the dad from the Urkel show, the guy who was in the...
What's his name, Rob?
The Die Hard movies.
Reginald Vell Johnson.
Okay, and then we're going to get to Gregory Hines and... I don't know.
That's
going to
be some
Hines.
Kind of satellite hookup?
Right. So we are reserving judgment now not to have Gregory Hines on.
Yeah, we're going to see what happens. We're going to see what happens with time on this Tuesday and see exactly what's going on.
And now we're just waiting for Sybil Shepherd. Is everybody... Are you guys sure? Did you get a look at that guy, Rob? I'm positive that is the guy that was Oscar from The $6 Million Man. Bring him over. Bring him over here.
We're going to check, and if it's not, it'll still be an interesting interview. You know, as we say, aren't you Oscar from the $6 Million Man?
You know, the guy that was...
I think he's thinner. I think he's a thinner man.
The guy who was Steve Austin's boss?
I know who you're talking about. A guy who wore the glasses?
Yeah.
Right.
He used to tell Lindsay Wagner where to go all the time.
Rob is actually checking it out right now.
Do you remember when he would move in his super... Oh,
Rob
it's not
says
him, Rob?
It's not him. No.
Did you ask?
No. Well, what happened was she will not allow him to come over.
Who's she?
Her, she.
Why?
I don't know.
Why? Well,
Rob was over there asking, and she's going...
Is he the guy that was
shaking her head?
$6 Million Man? No, it's not.
No? Well, then what's the problem?
Well, let's not cause trouble where there's not a need to cause trouble. If it's not him, it's not him.
Hold on. What did you say, Rob?
He plainly refused to come over, stating, I'm working and cannot do such a thing.
So it's not him, though.
No.
But has anybody asked him if it's him?
I did.
Do you remember when the $6 Million Man would do something in slow motion? It was always...
The sounds of Don and Mike eating.
He looks like that guy. That was my only comment. But now all of the publicists are very protective of all of the people here.
Yes, that's their job. That's why they're publicists.
All right, now here comes Sybil Shepherd. Are you ready?
We're ready from CBS Television City in beautiful Hollywood, California.
There she goes. Now, Sybil Shepherd has a very uptight publicist with her.
Yes, that's all right. That's okay. He seems very serious. He's carrying goods.
No, no, he's the guy who's going to give us a copy of her record. The publicist is the guy to his left. The woman with the red hair?
Oh, okay. Right. You mean the guy to his left? You mean the lady to his left?
What did I say? Oh, yeah. Yeah. The lady.
You confused me, man.
I'm sorry. The lady.
Totally
my lady.
Confused me. Okay, now we get the obligatory little camera.
All the disc jockeys get their pictures taken with Sybil Shepherd. And we are still
We're
waiting.
Nice enough to the celebrities that come on our show. We won't trouble them with that. And Bob Barker was the only person we asked for a little additional piece of tape.
Hey, that's because we love Bob Barker.
We do. We do indeed. We find him to be captivating and a wonderful, wonderful man.
All right. Well, here she comes now.
And he was wonderful.
Yeah, she's been warned.
And now
us.
Here she is.
There is Sybil
sitting
Shepherd.
Down at our little DJ setup. It's Sybil Shepherd.
Hi, Sybil.
Hi,
Sybil. How are you? Welcome.
How are you doing?
What's your name?
This is Don. I am Mike.
You're Mike. You're Don.
Hi, Sybil.
Right? How are
you're
you?
You're Don. You're Mike.
Right.
Have you got it committed to memory? You're
Mike
an actor,
Don.
So you can actually
Mike
memorize it.
Don.
Hi there.
I'm not a fast study, though. I kind of have to be learning lines every second I'm awake on my show.
So you don't? It doesn't come to you naturally to memorize all
well,
your...
Well, I don't have a photographic memory.
Okay.
I have a little cassette recorder, like Walkman type. I carry on my wrist on a
yeah.
rope. And it's a little discouraging that sometimes my kids know my lines before I do.
Really? That's the way you do it? That's
I walk around the kitchen. Yeah, I kind of have to. It takes a lot of work. I mean, it doesn't come easy.
Mm-hmm.
We work hard to make it seem easy.
So Elvis didn't like to eat fish.
Fish?
Well, now...
Sukiyaka-sama wants some seafood, mama.
We're big Elvis fans, and we
oh,
know
cool.
that you spent
oh, nice.
We know you spent some quality time with Elvis.
Yeah, I did.
And we, as a matter of fact, we have one tape when you were on the David Letterman show.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
I really... We play that tape
all
so
the
often,
time, constantly.
I think it's really one of the funniest moments, the funniest ad-libs. On the David Letterman show, and it was hysterical. And you know, they give you a bass chord.
When
the bass player plays a little chord, you know that you know you've done something to make Dave notice.
And hey, now that I see that guy face on, he's not the guy.
But you're not the guy. We thought you were the guy from the $6 million man.
You look like the guy that was the $6 million man's boss.
No.
Turn to the side. Give me a side profile.
He doesn't look anything like it. He's not. You're not even going to turn to the side.
Lee Majors. Lee Majors, who told me that 1 year of a television series was going to age me 10.
Well, really? It didn't, Sybil.
Well, it did in some ways, honey.
Yeah, you didn't. You're
I'm
still doing
tired
them.
Today.
You're still
I'm a
doing
tired.
Them.
You're a little tired. What time
so
did you get
Elvis,
up today?
Yeah, Elvis was great. I got up pretty early this morning.
What
I got
time?
Up at about, well, 7. I was out working out at 7:30.
Yeah, so you do work out. We're asking everybody that if they work out.
Yeah,
or
I was
not.
In the pool this morning. I run in the pool. I found that my joints don't like it too much when I run on dry land. But
so
I can run in that deep water.
Underwater
actually,
working
I'm running
out?
In the shallow water now with a little bungee cord.
Really?
Yeah.
Does it work? Does it feel good
well,
after you
I
do
mean,
that?
Well, I mean, everything. Nothing's hurting right this moment,
good.
And I'm feeling like fit and good, and like a little hungry, and I'm happy to see y'all.
As
where y'all from, anyway?
We are from hell, Sybil. We are the guys here that everybody's very worried about. That we're going to ask you something bad.
Do you notice there
are? We already talked about what Elvis wouldn't eat.
Thank you. So he wouldn't. Let me ask you this.
No, he didn't until he met me.
And then did he?
And then he did afterwards.
Oh, he did?
As to what he did after our relationship was over, I cannot attest.
Oh, so you were a trailblazer in that regard.
Wow.
Trailblazers for the king.
Do you
wow.
know how many people have gathered around now? This is the nervous factor. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
you know, it's
6 people. There's the security cordon has formed around
just
us.
Just don't call me Cheryl and we'll be fine.
We will not. We
no
will
problem.
Not.
You wouldn't believe the number of people who say Cheryl.
Well, now, how could they screw that up? Because the name of the show
know.
Is Sybil.
I don't know.
You know, my wife loves that show.
Does she?
She does.
I'm so glad.
You know,
she still likes it. You know, we're working real hard. Make it good.
We go through all the typical he said, she said things. I say, mm-hmm. I want to watch football. And she says, I want to watch the Sybil show. So
mm-hmm.
many times she sends me to my room. And then when it is, what are you doing? Are you playing footsie with her?
Are you?
Yeah.
I didn't touch
you.
My feet were over here. Look, my feet are all
what
the way over here.
Oh, it's on the chair.
That is the bottom of your chair, Sybil.
It's just something. All right. I must confess.
I got kind of excited there for a
I've been
minute.
Planning this for hours. When Sybil was going to sit here, I was going to slowly brush my foot across hers. And I've done it, and I'm guilty.
So a lot of times, I don't watch your show until football season is over.
Yeah,
and then
a,
I catch up on that. You know who is really good on that show, besides you, of course?
Yeah, thank you.
Is your daughter. your daughter on the show, the redhead.
Do you like her?
Do I like her? I love her.
I'm so glad.
Are you really glad? Are you,
yeah,
are you okay?
Really
I was just
glad.
Wondering whether the way you said that, I wasn't sure whether you were really glad.
She's got a kind of like sarcastic character that I find very funny a lot of times, and I'm always happy. I just don't take it for granted. You never know. Like somebody's, I hate that character. I love this character.
But who I don't like, I don't care for the one that drinks the martinis all the time.
That's
just
true.
Me.
That's
I mean, on the
true.
Show, the one who drinks, the, you know,
maybe
your friend.
Marianne?
Your friend, Dennis.
You don't love Marianne?
Yes, her. No, I'm not a big fan
what,
of her.
What, Rob?
Christine
Baranski, yeah.
That's her.
Funny.
You know, let me tell you something.
Does she drink martinis in real life? Like during the taping of the show?
Never.
Does she knock a few back? Does anybody on the show knock a few back while the show's being...
No. Are you a hard drinker?
Oh, never. No, God, no. I can do what I have to do.
I'm not saying
I
drink.
Enjoy a cocktail afterwards.
All right, now then, that's
or a glass of wine.
Now, some have said we couldn't do what we do here without knocking a few back before the show's on the air. That's the way it works.
Maybe if that's all you do, you're lucky, huh?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well.
What kind of car you drive, Sybil? We're going to ask you all the questions that we ask all our celebrity guests.
What kind of car do I drive?
Yeah.
Mercedes, of course.
There you go.
And that's
like
the type
the
of car
like
that
a
woman like you should drive a Mercedes. And where do you live? You might live in a mansion?
I'm also spokesperson for Mercedes of Southern California dealers, too.
Oh, so that's why.
However, that was an easy job for me because I'd been driving one for 5 years, and they came and asked me if I would be spokesperson to do their commercials.
That's a cool gig.
That was very cool because I do drive it for all the right reasons.
Is this your publicist right here, this gentleman right over here? No? He's your assistant?
Dialogue coach and director of my cabaret act, Jim Lazar.
Jim Lazar. I've been eyeballing Jim since the interview began. Is Jim packing heat right now? Is he carrying any kind of weapon? Jim,
no.
Do you have any kind of weapon on you right now?
No,
not at all.
Okay, I was just checking.
Only the CD, which I don't consider dangerous.
Okay, the CD. Yes, or the Talk Memphis
to me.
Now, how come it sounds kind of sexy? Talk Memphis
to
me.
It's not hitting the record stores until November 4th.
See, it's got all Japanese writing on the back of it.
This is a test pressing that I brought today, so you could have it.
Oh, and what do you sing Talk Memphis?
Now, let me show you something. Talk Memphis is a song that I co-wrote with Tom Adams. This is a lot about, you know, they say you can't go home again. This song is CD is about going home. It's a journey home. And a lot of the songs are about the Mississippi River. Talk Memphis is the only song I've ever written. And it's about being homesick, about wanting to go home, and wanting somebody to talk that Memphis kind of talk. You know?
Like Elvis used to talk, you.
Yes.
That
hey, baby,
there.
Memphis little way.
Hey, baby, I'm feeling like fish.
That's it.
Hey,
Elvis,
Sybil.
Aaron Presley.
We love Elvis, man. We are fixated on Elvis.
Yeah, some have said we're a little obsessed about Elvis on our show. You
did
know,
you ever
say,
see him perform
live?
Did you? In Vegas?
Never had the pleasure.
You never did?
No.
I am telling you, he was the most extraordinary performer. The only person that would rival him would be Frank Sinatra. That, you know.
And when you were involved with Elvis,
mm-hmm.
which state of Elvis was it? Was it? It certainly wasn't the Army Elvis. Was it comeback Elvis?
It was after Priscilla, the comeback.
Okay.
And before he seemed to like gain a tremendous amount of weight.
So
he was still one of the most gorgeous human beings.
Did you see him losing control really when that was happening with the mafia, the Memphis mafia, and all those guys? Did it seem like Elvis was losing? I don't want to say losing control. I'll say losing touch
control of his bladder, his bowels
towards the very end, losing touch with what was going on.
It's very difficult for him to have touch with anything.
Right.
He had to live such an isolated existence. And I don't want to run down the Memphis mafia because I think that Elvis and I actually have a lot in common in the sense that we find that going home to Memphis, and that's what Talk Memphis is about, is a very important part of kind of staying sane. I mean, there's another way of looking at the Elvis Presley story, which is maybe he could have kicked the bucket sooner. We don't know about this. Maybe going home to Memphis, maybe that group of friends that we want to run down and we want to say maybe they weren't sophisticated enough, maybe they helped him hang in there. It's very hard. You know, I never had to experience with Elvis Presley. And I mean, that kind of celebrity, that kind of attention, I think it's awfully hard to survive it.
Mm-hmm. So, listen, will you tell these publicists, please, just to can it? You know, we've been waiting all day to have you on the show.
The drugs didn't help. You know, the drugs didn't help. And that was the thing that finally turned me off to Elvis was that he was, you know, he took pills to go to sleep and pills to wake up.
Right.
And that just didn't do it for me.
Sing some of your songs for us. We don't have a CD player here.
The song is Talk Memphis to Me.
Yeah.
Will you sing?
Can you give us a little talk
sure.
about Memphis?
Okay.
Right.
Talk Memphis to me, and you'll see all the beauty inside. Makes me laugh and cry. I can hear the train coming across the bridge. I've forgotten the rest.
Yeah.
Listen, talk Memphis
now,
to me.
Now sing the theme to your show.
Okay.
We love singing on this show.
Holding hands at midnight, 'neath a starry sky. Nice work if you can get it, And you can get it if you try.
Oh, man, right on.
Now sing Suspicious Minds.
Suspicious Minds. We're calling it a train. Hey, are you singing along or are you just telling us wrap it up like you always do? Is that what you're doing?
Hey, Sybil, this is the biggie.
Crazy Wonderful.
You're terrific. Crazy, well, that's wonderful. Nice. It's nice for anybody who comes on and sings on our show, we love forever.
Well,
that's great.
I'm into jocks.
You're into jocks?
Yeah.
You mean like athletic jocks or disc jockeys?
Not jock straps, necessarily.
You're into disc jockeys?
Not discharge.
Really? Oh.
Oh.
All right. You think you're bad.
Well, all right. That's it. She's leaving. Bye, Sybil.
Bye, Sybil. Sybil, thank you so much. Thanks.
Bye. Hey,
thanks. Nice, you're fantastic.
You. Bye-bye.
Thank you for singing on our show.
Bye-bye.
Hey, look, that's Sybil Shepherd.
She got on tennis shoes.
Yes, she does.
She has that look that the young urban women have when they're going from job to job.
Where they kick off the tennis shoes and put on the regular shoes when they get there. That was cool.
Now listen, that guy does look like a $6 million man's boss. I swear to God he does.
He does indeed.
Oh, he's better than a $6 million man?
This is quite an entourage here. Now, what are we doing now? What do you want us to do?
Oh, listen,
No, that's for the other guys. We don't trouble our celebrities with that.
It's enough that I touched your hand,
but she's leaning in here, so I'm going to take advantage of it right now.
Oh, boy.
All right.
There you go, Mike. Take the picture.
Take another one, Rob.
What, are you comping a feel? What are you doing there?
Rob, I'll break the finger off if that camera doesn't
work. Rob is an idiot with a camera. There he got it. Thank you, Sybil.
Bye-bye. She was very nice. All on her own, she came back and got a picture. And how many publicists were surrounding her?
She's obviously the biggest star here today.
She's the biggest star.
And I will say that, is she within earshot? Listen, her ass is not as big in person as it is on TV.
She looks great. She really does.
Yeah, I should tell her. Maybe we should call her back. I should tell her to wear some more flattering clothes on television. Let's not do that.
I'll warm the car up and you can tell her that.
Let's not do that.
Yeah.
All right, that's Sybil Shepherd. And there's her CD. Well, you can take that home as a souvenir, Mike.
I will. I'd love to take that home. Talk Memphis to me, and she's got a very good singing voice. I'm somewhat smitten with Sybil.
Yeah, it's all right.
I've always had,
I've
always said that. I've always had a thing for Sybil Shepherd.
All right.
Always have since the last picture show.
Oh, and I didn't even ask her how come they had to put the Vaseline on the lens when she was on Moonlighting.
Okay.
Right? Now I'm remembering all the stuff that I was too afraid to ask her when she was sitting here.
And just as well.
And, listen, pretty stacked.
Yeah.
That's another thing that I've thought about Sybil that I've said on the air for many years that I think
she's fantastic.
She wears a push-up bra and tries to highlight that. However, today I will tell you that she did not... You okay?
Yes, yes, just taking a deep breath.
She didn't appear to have a push-up bra on today.
She was wearing a lovely little vest and one of those business suits, and the only thing that was out of place were those tennis sneakers.
Yeah.
And if you could get like about a 6-inch set of pumps to go with that suit.
All right, listen. I recognize these signs.
Yeah, baby. Fantastic. You can have your Doris Roberts.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
I'm going to Sybil's house.
A quick break, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And I got one more question. I'm a student of print journalism, and I just wanted to know, what advice do you have for young people coming up into the field? Like, professors are telling us how hard it is to get into the field at first. I'd just like to know, since you're in the field, do you have any advice on that? For instance, experience, is that important?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Is that probably the most important
element? No, it's way up there.
It's way up there. Anything else? Anything you do?
Pressure under fire.
Mm-hmm.
Done this before. I don't want it to be his first surgery.
Okay.
Applied himself well.
Mm-hmm.
These are things I'd have confidence in a young MD.
Okay. I'm talking about journalism field.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
The journalism. Like, I'm a student of journalism at a college, and I was just wondering the most important aspect of getting into journalism, not the medical field. I think you're exhausted from 30 nights.
I am exhausted from 30 nights. No person, even those of us who are superhuman, those of us with Herculean appetites for the diverse and the bizarre, even those of us who have shown an aptitude to fight the good fight and stay the good long battle, even those of us can get tired. And your boy is tired after 30 consecutive nights. I have a half hour to go, and I'm going to do that half hour because I'm a pro. That's what pros do. I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Okay.
That's what we do. We're pros. We're never rude. We don't cop out. We don't tell you that we're ill or that we're looking for the farmhouse in the middle of the desert or that we're parched. We don't tell you that maybe the check didn't come through this month and where the hell does it go anyway if you're a guy who's left 16 forwarding addresses.
Okay.
So what do you do? What is the answer? Yeah, you're a little perturbed now. Kind of worried about the club.
The club?
Don't worry about the club. Worry about maybe Jackie might worry. Nah, don't worry. Okay, just cool it. Life is a breeze. Of course, some breezes, as you know, are 110 miles an hour and get promoted up to hurricanes. I just thought I'd pass that along. Speaking of pass it along, we're going to pass along now to the newsroom, the Mutual newsroom, high atop the overlooking downtown, beautiful downtown studios of Washington, Virginia, Washington, D.C. The Mutual newsroom will get us up to date on the news headlines, and we'll come back with a little more Open Phone America. We'll have our salute to my man, Duke Siebert, by taking him to one of his favorite places, one of mine, too, the town of Cooperstown, New York. This is the Larry King Show in Washington, and we'll be right back.
The Don and Mike Show.
Promoting voluntary sterilization. The Don and Mike Show.
And welcome back to the Best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, Joe Artinger. And guess what? Everybody get ready. It's time for everybody's favorite game. Make us laugh. That's right. It's the game that drives phone screeners like myself nuts. Make us laugh. On the best. It's Don and Mike.
Okay, we are now going to go to our telephones and find somebody to make us laugh.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. Okay?
Get stone-faced, everybody. Get very serious now.
All right. All right. No, I'm not that easy. You know, you think I'm an easy mark, but
you
I
are
am
super
not.
Easy. Mark.
I am seriously not.
You're the easiest.
I can hold this.
You cannot.
I'm not even in the mood.
You're always in the mood.
I am.
That's why you're so good on the show.
It's a curse.
You know what I mean? Right? It's like salt and pepper.
Yeah. That's why the show works. Like my hands in a bag of bees.
Not a Mike show.
Hey, guys, you remember years ago whenever Larry King was on the NBC pregame show with Ahmad Rashad and Bob Costas? When Ahmad asked Felicia Rashad to marry him on the air, and she agreed to show up at halftime, and she said yes and everything else, about 2 weeks later, Larry King, before the game, said the same thing and proposed to Mary Hart on the air and said, if she comes down at halftime, you know, I'm offering my hand. That's exactly the way that he said it. And Bob Costas looked at him like he was crazy.
But on the other hand, you know, if you're a guy who's calling without a joke,
yes,
you know, maybe that's not the best way to go either.
Well, anyway, she didn't show up at halftime, and they had said they were going to go back to Larry King at halftime and find out what happened, and she never showed up and it was never mentioned again.
Didn't make any of us laugh.
No, but it was, you know something, I like the creative aspect of the fact that you didn't call with a joke.
Oh, well, thanks.
He gets some points for that, but it wasn't funny.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi, make us laugh, please.
Picture this, if you will. Jim Elliot rolling around. I tried.
That only made me and Mike laugh, because we're the only ones who know who Jim Elliot is.
Yeah, we have to really be objective and try to make this good for the listeners as well.
Although that's good.
That was good.
That's good. See, Buzz, if you knew Jim Elliot, you would have laughed at that.
Probably. Hey, all right. Fantastic sunshine.
But even then, we didn't laugh out loud.
That's true.
That's what it has to be. Laugh out loud.
That's right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make us laugh.
Radio God.
Hi.
I just learned what Rudy Martsky's favorite football formation is.
What?
The offset eye.
That was good. That was good.
That was good.
It made me laugh. It made Mike laugh. Buzz, I did not hear an audible laugh from you.
You was chuckling silently.
Well, if I try it.
Nope,
if I
not.
Sorry, Buzz has to laugh too.
I'm sorry.
Has to be 3 out of 3.
That's why we have Buzz here.
The offset eye.
That was a good one, though.
Yeah. You're doing good.
That's one personalized for the show.
Yeah.
Good effort.
Terrific effort.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Oh, hi. This is Maria from Waldorf.
Hello, Maria. Make us laugh.
Well, I wanted to tell you about my youngest son's around 11, and you know how they get in the parents' bathroom and disappear for a while.
How they do what?
They go in the parents' bathroom and shut the door, and you go by and wonder what the hell they're doing in there.
Uh-huh.
Well,
yes.
You go knocking on the door, and he opens the door, and he has this white cream on his face and his arm. And I'm asking him, what do you have on yourself well, I needed something for my mosquito bite. I says, can I see what you've put on yourself? And I'm looking at it saying, what in the heck could he have put on? There's nothing in there for him. So he hands me this tube, and I start cackling, and I drag him through the hallway. Come here, you got to show Dad what you put on yourself.
What was it?
It was anti-itch cream. And as soon as we told him what it was, he looked at me like, I don't know what this is. It's okay, right? It's for mosquito bites. And we're saying, no, honey, it's a cream. And they're saying, what's that? I said,
no,
cream.
I'm sorry. Terrific story, though.
You didn't make Mike or Buzz laugh. Mm-hmm. However, you didn't get a laugh out of me. Not because of the story, but because I think it's funny someone in your family has to put cream on their butt because it itches so
much. And
that's
the way, like on the show, you're thinking a few steps ahead as to what the purpose of the anal itch cream would be for.
Whose cream is it?
Now he knows Dad has hemorrhoids.
Oh, okay. You would have had us. You would have had us.
Two pretty good ones.
Don Mikesha. You don't apply that with your hands, do you?
Well, I mean, how else could you apply it?
Rob? Hello, Don and Mikesha. Okay. You get one of those big, long back scratcher things that they sell at Spencer Gifts.
Yeah, absolutely. The kind of little tongs.
Yeah, tongs, salad tongs.
Tongs can work. You know, you just duct tape them to a stick.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, am I on?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, can I get music in the background? I want to sing Goodbye, Larry King.
Oh, you mean the Elton John song?
Yeah, any chance I could get Candle in the Wind?
Don't have it. You'd have to do it a cappella, sir. Although, I'll say this. High concept.
Sing.
It's a high concept.
Well, it's made for the show.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right, I'll try it. This is off the top of my head.
Gotcha.
Goodbye, Larry King. Though you are as stiff as a lie, you had the grace to hold yourself, even though you look like a fry.
Again, I like the concept.
Yeah, very good. And, you know, I applaud all our listeners today with these.
It's better than usual, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes, they're terrific concepts. And just because we're not all laughing doesn't mean these aren't good.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
This is Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, all right, knock, knock.
Who's there?
The Interrupting Cow.
The Interrupting Cow.
No! Oh, come on.
I made Mike and Buzz laugh. I didn't laugh out loud, though.
Alrighty.
I loved it.
Sorry.
Alright.
Gotta be majority rules.
Oh, you know me. I'll be telling that one, like, for the next month.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Lisa.
Lisa, hello. Make us laugh, please.
Well, when I lived at home, I would, before I get ready for work, I'd go downstairs, get some coffee, talk to my mom a little bit. Well, I had a robe on, and I didn't have anything under it. And I'm telling her, hurry up, Mom, I got to go to the bathroom. So she's trying to tell me something, and all of a sudden, this little plopped out and bounced on the kitchen floor.
You had an accident in front of your mother?
And
this is a woman telling this story. I'd laugh, but it's too fascinating to laugh.
Well,
it's a fascinating story.
This is like 15 years later, and I'm laughing.
That is fantastic.
Call us back some other time. We'll devote a whole hour of the show to you.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd like to hear all the details.
I promise. Yeah, I laugh, though. Hello, right. Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi, who's this? Joe?
Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Imagine Rosie O'Donnell and Larry King having sex together. Come on, that's hysterical.
Yeah, like that's not a turn on?
Yeah, I'm getting a little
sexy, baby. Getting aroused like Marv.
Oh, Rosie.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm depressed.
Why?
Somebody did my interrupting cow joke.
Oh, really? Is that the one you have?
Yes.
Hello. Oops.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hi, I'm ready to make Don and Mike laugh.
I didn't think it was that funny, guys.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
The Interrupting Cow. Oh, see, you're no fun. You're no fun. Nobody wants to play my game.
That's funny, what I just did. That's funny. Hello. A joke is marginally funny.
It's a kid's joke.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Is it me, Don and Mike?
Yes, hi.
Oh, well, how are you doing?
No!
Okay. Move.
You help yourself, couldn't you?
I'm participating in making you laugh.
What?
My story is that 5 years ago, I sell operating room equipment, and I was teaching somebody new about selling this equipment to the anesthesiologist and told them that under no circumstances be very professional, always be very courteous, and never comment on anything, especially about a patient. Yeah. Well, the man was on the table. He was under light anesthesia, and he was being cleaned and shaved. And right in the middle of this procedure, and I very quietly looked at the person I was training and said, do not say a word. And there was this awkward silence, and then this very obese and rather ugly nurse anesthetist all of a sudden broke the silence and just looked up and said,
sorry, but it just didn't, I mean, it was a great story.
Good start.
I wish half the phone calls we take on this show on a regular basis were as good as all these.
That's a fantastic, it's just not one of those bust into laughter things.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Apparently, if you say moo, I'm the interrupting cow.
Yeah.
You know, if I wasn't here, we'd already have a winner today.
We would. We would have had a winner with the interrupting cow.
Hello.
And there was a delayed laugh from this man. A delayed laugh, but it doesn't count. You have to make him laugh immediately. Yeah.
I was laughing at you laughing at it more than I was laughing at the stupid joke.
I'm still, what did it say about me? I'm still laughing at it.
Hello, Don and Mike. Go home and tell your 2-year-old. I'm sure she will never get tired of it.
I will.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
My name is Shea. Call from St. Pete.
Shay?
Got correct.
You. All right, Shay, make us laugh.
Okay, what's the difference between an epileptic oyster shucker and a prostitute?
He doesn't have to give us the punchline. He doesn't have to give us the punchline.
All right.
The straight line has won him the prize.
We have a winner.
All right.
No punchline necessary.
No more calls. We have a winner. And again, the winning line was...
Go ahead, sir. Say it again.
What's the difference between an epileptic...
Who cares?
It doesn't matter, sir.
You don't have to give us the punchline.
Who cares?
I think you like it.
I like the straight line better than the punchline.
Yeah.
Listen, either way, Shay, you win.
Great.
Okay, congratulations. You want a trip or two to Atlantic City to see Louis Galata. That's courtesy of the Cable Council's pay-per-view committee. Your trip includes 2 nights hotel, tickets, and $500 in spending money. Order the fight on pay-per-view this weekend, October 4th, by calling your local cable operator.
Okay, so I got to talk to somebody about what's going on with this, right?
You what?
Yes, you're overwhelmed because you didn't...
Correct.
You didn't expect to know.
How do I get it? Mm-hmm. Yes, we will tell you in a moment. Shay, thank you, my friend.
Hey, Shay.
Yes?
One last thing. Moo! Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's like the canoe joke. Knock, knock. Who's there? Canoe. Can you come out and play with me? I mean, it goes back to when I was a kid. It's a little deformity I have.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
I hate knock knock jokes. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Oh my God, this is Mark. Thank you for taking. I am very nervous. All right.
Hey, listen.
Is this Judy Garland?
Let me first say that is the
please,
biggest.
Please.
That is the biggest bunch of crap.
What?
I hear all kinds of people, especially on Rush Limbaugh and Dr. Laura.
Mm-hmm. No, hold on.
I'm not mad at you. Slow down. People say thank you for taking my call.
I didn't even know I was saying that.
We're not bashing you. We're not bashing you at all.
I just
want to point out that everybody that does a show...
My heart's going 120 miles an hour. Okay,
down.
I'm sorry.
People on the radio would be dead without the people calling up. So it's such a pompous formality to say...
I know.
Thank you for taking my call.
I said that. I hate myself.
Well,
no,
don't take it so seriously.
Don is just holding that up.
I can't believe I said it. Maybe that's
an example. That's all right.
Listen, you know, you made me change my mind on that subject. It's great to say thank you for taking my call.
That's the worst thing I ever heard. I can't believe I even said it.
Without you calling, we don't exist. You see, not necessarily you personally, but the callers.
Can I tell you, please?
You're a good listener. I can tell that already.
I wrote notes so that I wouldn't waste time.
You wrote
notes?
I want
to tell you that you give the greatest gift of all, and that is laughter. And I am addicted to your show ever since it came to Baltimore. I love you both so much.
Ma'am, are you addicted to anything else?
Cough syrup.
Well, you know.
Now, listen, it sounded to me like you were prepared, that you said you had a list ready.
Yes, I said, right. You give the great... And you have your own individual style, and I'm... just hopelessly addicted to your show.
Liza has made such progress.
When I went to Mississippi, I wondered where I could find you. I went to a trip, you know, and then, you know.
She appeared in Victor Victoria. She's just made incredible strides.
How do you like Cosby? Everybody loves Raymond. Sybil. And then I just
listen, what is she talking about?
I was out in the country, so I didn't have any electricity.
This is Liza Minnelli.
Hello?
Don and Mike.
Hello?
How can I say this? Are a gay.
Yeah. Hi.
Yes, Liza.
Yeah. No. I said...
All right, listen, I'm going to give you a second to collect your thoughts. Yeah. Hold on a second.
No, my
No, hold on.
Okay, hold on.
This is a good day. I'm not kidding you.
Hold on.
This is a good day. This is when you throw off that trolling net, and you're getting it. I mean, we're getting all keepers today.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thank you.
Hey, this is Floyd. I just want to say you guys have a great show.
Thank you, Floyd.
First of all, you guys were talking about Jack Wagner yesterday.
Oh, you're right, we did. We mentioned him on Melrose, yes.
Yeah, well, I've seen that dude naked, man.
You've seen Jack Wagner naked?
Really?
I've seen Whitey Herzog, Joe Torre.
Before we get on that topic,
yeah.
Is there anybody else as cynical as me who, when you heard the reports last night, thought that maybe Joe Torre's brother is going to the hospital again just to get that sympathy thing going for the Yankees?
Oh, sure, it's a Yankee. It's a Yankee conspiracy.
Because remember, now, last year, the guy really almost did croak.
Right.
And it was during the World Series, and everybody had that sentimental feeling for Joe Torre. Mm-hmm. Well, the guy's been doing great.
Right.
Now the Yankees are back in the playoffs, and he's in the hospital, and they're making a point of saying, nothing life-threatening, but they get to do that same scenario again.
Sure.
Yeah.
Joe Torre trying to win one for his brother.
Imagine that. He's talking to his players, probably manipulating them, too, before the game, going, listen, my brother will not pull through unless we get another ring. Do you understand, boys? Go out and do it for the Gipper.
And who hit Joe Torre with such an ugly stick?
Oh, I think he's a handsome man.
I mean, he was not good-looking when he was a player.
Mm-hmm.
And he's even worse now, because he's getting all bumpy and hairy and stuff.
He looks like he can really see well at night. He really has those kind of eyes.
You've seen all those guys naked?
Yeah, I was working at a country club in St. Louis, and they were all members out there.
Right. Hold on a second. Okay. Let me check on my other nutty caller.
Hold on.
We got Floyd here, and we got Liza here.
Hey, Liza.
Yeah?
All right, now, have you collected your thoughts?
Well, they're collected.
Okay.
I just wanted to compliment you on your L.A., connection with Sybil and
All right, now hold on. We might be able to get back to you if you can just collect those thoughts again, Liza.
Hold on a second. I'm coming back to you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to Don and Mike.
Oh, who's this? This was the other guy. This is not Floyd?
No.
Who is this?
This is Mel from Austin.
Mel. Yes, hello, Mel.
Yeah, you were talking about Joe Torre a little while ago?
Yes,
yeah.
Mel.
Have you watched HBO? Have you seen previews for
what happened about something else? But I'll tell you this, based on my experience, every man named Mel is absolutely stunningly beautiful.
You got
agree. I couldn't agree with you more.
All Mels are handsome.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that up front and
hey,
for the record.
Can I say something to Mike?
Yes, Mel.
Hey, Mike, I'm a big fan of the impressions, man.
Thank you, Mel. I appreciate that. It's very nice of you. And taking that from Mel, that's from a Mel, that's a wonderful compliment.
Yeah, I know. We love Mel.
That's terrific.
We love all Mels. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, Mike, Buzz.
Yeah.
Hey, I tried calling KHDK from down here, and they won't even answer the telephone anymore.
Well, where is down here? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Lincoln, just outside of Sacramento. But they have a a cell number where it's like 1140. You push star 1140 call in.
Right. Yeah.
And, are you on a tractor right now?
Yeah, I'm in a truck.
You're in a truck.
Not quite a tractor though.
No, not exactly a tractor. But I mean, I called in and the phone rang like 45 times, and then it went to a busy signal. They won't even answer the phone anymore.
Well, that could have been a problem with the cell phone. With the cell phone network.
Okay.
Well, or perhaps, you're right, the show's so incredibly powerful, we've blown out all the telephones in Northern California.
Oh, I hope it doesn't disrupt our intervention with Liza.
Well, thank you.
How are you doing, baby?
Well, thank you. And civil interview, they were the greatest, but I was way out in the country and I had no electricity, so I couldn't record it. And I don't... I know, it's funny.
You were out in the country. Were you walking around disoriented, not knowing where you were?
No, I have a place in the country with no electricity. Right.
Hold on, Lark. Hold on a second.
Okay. Place in the country with no
electricity. Now, Floyd.
Yes, sir.
Floyd.
Yeah.
Tell me, of the celebrities you mentioned, it was Jack Wagner, Whitey Herzog, and Joe Torre. I've
seen them all naked.
Brett Hull, Curtis Joseph.
Who had the most?
I would have to say Whitey.
Whitey.
Whitey. What a surprise, the redhead.
Yeah, well,
surprise
he's great now.
I'm surprised. He's great now, yeah.
All right, hold on a second, Floyd.
Imagine this guy in a country club locker room staring at all of them.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
You are on the air.
Yes, speak to us.
Hola.
Go ahead.
Oh. Hola.
Yes, I did. Is this Liza?
Hello,
Liza?
No.
Who is this?
This is Peggy.
Peggy. Hello, Peggy.
Hi. I just wanted to know that I think you should get Liza and Dennis Murphy together.
You know, there's love in the air. Everybody always wants to hook up Dennis and find that woman who's going to be his soul partner.
She is an idea man. Hello, Lark.
Yes.
Lark, that's the lady's name in Baltimore.
Yes, and I've sent, you know, many of contributions here on Jingle Contest.
Yes, Lark.
Thank you.
Really,
I can't believe I'm speaking. Well, you know, you really are. My radio gods, I'm sorry. You can make fun of me all you want,
Lark,
because it doesn't matter anymore.
We love you. We're not making fun of you.
It doesn't matter anymore, you see?
I don't like the sound of that. It doesn't matter anymore.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Why
because
not?
I have seen the other side of the mountain.
Yeah,
she's
funny.
Reached the mountaintop because she's talked to Don and Mike.
Who is the celebrity that you think you most resemble?
Okay, I'll tell you. Haley Mills.
Hold on a second, Lark.
Haley Mills out at her country house with that electricity.
And Floyd?
Yep.
Of Jack Wagner, Joe Torre, and Whitey Herzog.
All of them.
All of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that deserves our first golf applause of the day.
All right, hold on, Floyd.
Okay.
We'll continue with this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, George.
Hi.
What's the matter? My mother caught me.
Caught you? Doing what?
You know. I was alone.
You mean?
She caught you?
Where?
I stopped by the house to drop the car off, and I went inside for a few minutes. Nobody was there. They're supposed to be working. My mother had a Glamour magazine. I started looking through it.
Glamour?
So, one thing led to another.
So what did she do?
First, she screams, George, what are you doing? My God! And it looked like she was going to faint. She started clutching the wall, trying to hang on to it.
Man.
I didn't know whether to try and keep her from falling or zip up.
What did you do?
I zipped up.
Did she fall?
Yeah. Well, I couldn't run over there the way I was.
No, I wouldn't think so.
So she fell, and then she started screaming, my back, my back. So I picked her up. I took her to the hospital.
Oh, how is she?
She's in traction.
Sorry.
It's not funny, Elaine.
I know. I'm fine.
Her back went out. She's got to be there for a couple of days. All she said on the way over in the car was, why, George, why? I said, because it's there.
Glamour?
The Don and Mike Show. Now, made funnier by the Infinity Lawyers, it's the Don and Mike Show.
That's right. It certainly is. It's the best of Don and Mike cleaned up just for you. So that you don't get your feelings hurt. I'm your host, Joe Ardinger, with the best of Don and Mike going out coast to coast, nationwide on the Westwood One Radio Network. Now, back to Los Angeles, la la la, for an interview with Mark Harmon on the best of Don and Mike.
Mike?
Yes.
We have now, without a doubt, the prettiest CBS star that we've had the pleasure to sit down with today.
We thought that Jag guy was pretty, but this guy's prettier. And I must ask you, do you work out?
It's Mark Harmon, everybody.
Would you like to give the time slot? Because you came up here in a very nice way and kind of said,
make sure you mention when it's on.
Wednesdays, 10 o'clock on CBS.
There you go. Wednesdays, 10 o'clock.
You know, you got the pushiest one, Mark. You got the pushiest publicist.
Yeah.
This is the great Mark Harmon, who is on Chicago Hope, everybody.
Hi, Mark. I've realized I don't have to use my earphones with you guys.
No, we're very loud.
We have to. We want to
loud
be
loud. Is good. Well, when you don't have a lot going for you.
You know, you guys work in artillery by any chance?
We
have to struggle. Look at us. We're not pretty like you, so we have to do what we have to do. That's
come on. I'm looking at your list here. Prettier than Jane Seymour?
I don't
you
think
are
so.
Prettier than Jane Seymour.
Prettier than Robert Stack? I don't think
so. Well,
nobody's prettier than Robert Stack.
All right, let me tell you what a big Mark Harmon fan I am.
Okay.
And I am. That, of course, I saw you at St. Elsewhere.
Yes.
And I loved it. The best part of St. Elsewhere is when that girl had the razor blade in her mouth and she sliced you up.
Oh,
your face.
You're a sick dude. You like that one.
And I even saw the movie you did where you're the weather guy. The weather guy. Hold on. That movie was not so bad.
No, the guy from Philadelphia loves that movie. He's seen it 17 times.
Listen to the premise of this movie. He's a weather guy, and of course, he's pretty.
Right.
That's the whole thing. He's a pretty guy. How you doing, Mark? Is this making you uncomfortable?
No. I'm just thinking about pretty weather guys. All right. He has some kind of itch there. I wasn't sure what was going on.
So he's a guy who can, in the movie, can get any girl that he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So his friends make a bet with him, and they say, we're going to
I remember this movie.
Give you three women, and you got to, like, get engaged to all the women Anyway, right. I'm a big fan of yours, and I like you on Chicago Hope.
You play an insensitive, heartless, sexist guy, right? Isn't that in that movie?
Oh, I play a lot of those guys. Yeah, but the thing is, that movie was written by two women,
right?
Which is what drew me to the material, mm-hmm. because I thought the book I read too, which was not a great book, but the adaptation by the two ladies was, I thought, something that was right on the edge, potentially. If it worked, it was going to work big. And if it didn't work, which it didn't, it was going to work small.
Well, ask me and the guy from Philly. We both love it.
Well, the people who found it in video, and who likes it, likes it.
Well, I love you on Chicago Hope. You're great on that show.
Thanks.
And that show did pretty well at the Emmys. Hector actually picked up an Emmy.
He
seems to be a great guy to work
with. He's exactly what he seems. He's a terrific team player. Mm-hmm. He does great work, whether you give him a lot to do or give him very little to do.
Yeah, and your character on Chicago Hope, let me put it lightly, I'm not sure I'd want to go in and go under the knife with you with your personal situation.
Well, you know what? I think Jack McNeil is a guy you would absolutely love to go under the knife.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think you'd want to do anything else with him.
You're not going to the racetrack anymore.
Well,
right?
Doing that? He's got a challenge that they're dealing with here with GA. They got him into GA. Whether he's fully there, the crash has not happened yet. I fully expect that at some point. I don't know.
This is Gamblers Anonymous for those
I really
who don't
know. Where he's headed.
Thank you, Mike. I was sitting here racking my brain. GA.
Yeah, good morning, America.
Sorry.
Good morning. That's GMA. Okay.
Well, they've had me in these meetings here, you know, to try to learn what I'm supposed to learn there. I'm not a gambler by nature personally, so I've had to learn this, but it's been fun to play, and the reaction of people out there has been tremendous. So, you know, to have an opportunity weekly to play a character like this, number one, to be part of an ensemble cast like this, number two, where you don't walk into the stage door every day and run into a giant ego,
right?
And the chance to work with writers who really care weekly about what they put out there is, and then to work 3 days a week.
Right.
On a busy week.
See, now this is what I was asking Robert Stack about, and he wouldn't come clean with me about how great the hours are being a TV star.
Yeah, well, no, it can work either way. I mean, if you're carrying a show and doing a two-character, one-hour drama, you're there 15 hours a day, 16 hours a day. I've done that. No thanks right now. I mean, part of the reason I this was so attractive to me was I got a young family at home, and I get to spend time with them, which is great.
And with the ensemble cast, they actually take that into account as far as they lay out the schedule so that people can be accommodated? Is that done?
To some degree. Last spring, I was able to kind of cut away 3 weeks and went down and did From Earth to the Moon with Tom Hanks and was able to play Wally Schirra and do Apollo 7, which was a great treat. And most of the times when you're locked into a series show, you know, something like that comes up, you're not able to take advantage of it. So I really am thankful to have this job because I think these people are, number one, great people to work for, and number two, they provide you great material and a great cast to work opposite, which, guess what, makes you a better actor.
And it's got to be tough to come in after the show is up and running. The second year, the third year?
I came in the third year.
Right.
And if you look at this, you know, as a hand that already works, I mean, I joined a cast that, you know, had been up for, you know, 38 different Emmys.
Right.
So all of a sudden to say, where can I possibly fit in here without stepping on anybody else's feet? I mean, I didn't know it was going to work, and I don't think they did either. Mm-hmm. You know, I got there a half hour early the first day, and I was standing in the parking lot when people pulled in. They never even were out of their car. I just went and said, hi, I'm Mark. I'm the new kid. What's the deal?
Save any lives recently?
No.
Are you pissed
recently
about all that publicity you got for that?
Do you
remember that story that you were going by? Was it an accident, a car wreck that you
had? It happened right next door to our house. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and these kids are just real lucky kids. I mean, we've all been there. I mean, the bottom line is these kids got caught. They were going 80 miles an hour in a residential zone, you know, never hit the brakes, went through a solid brick wall and a wood gate, went 40 yards up the driveway on a roof, burst into flames. I mean, you know, they're lucky to have survived.
And in case you don't know the story, Mark Harmon sees this and
He pulled them out of the fire.
Saves the kids.
Well, they're lucky kids, and that's what you learn. I mean, the idea is, and that's as deep as the story really goes for me, the idea that you're there and you're able to take an opportunity and help, which is great. And I'm glad of that, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful that these kids have a life. They're 16. They're bulletproof. They came over a month ago and showed us the tattoos they got commemorating the evening. You know, but you know, the truth is,
hope they slow down.
A little weird, man.
No, but the truth is, they're 16, and the strength you have when you're 16, and what you don't know that you survived, or what is,
you're not going to die. You're not going to die when you're 16.
Well, no, you aren't. But now as an adult, you know, and that's been the great reaction from people. His parents and people have come up and said, God, you know, I've been there. Thank you very much. I have kids. You know, that's the reward, and that's what this story means to me, and that's why it's important people know about it. The rest of the stuff,
And how tough was it? Seriously, being a handsome man myself, I think I could ask you this question. When you were the sexiest man alive, I know that a lot of people, you had to get sick as hell of that, of everywhere you went, them saying you were the sex, because you were like one of the first sexiest men alive,
I think Mel Gibson was the first.
And then, you're so much prettier than he is.
I can imagine how pleased Mel was to pass that on to me.
You know, a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure being the sexiest man alive.
As opposed to the sexiest man dead? You know, what does it mean? I mean, it's like, if I said, people, you walk down the street and people come and say, I voted for you. What does that mean? You know,
you the man. High five wherever you go.
It's like the silliest thing I've ever heard. I thought about it then, what I think about it now, which is, you know, my God, don't people have something better to do?
Would you kiss me?
On the mouth?
No, just on the cheek. Would you kiss me?
This is a moment here. This is a legitimate question. I know the man. I know when he's being serious. He's asking you for a kiss on the cheek.
Really? Why is that?
Because I love you.
You are a sick boy. This is a sick boy over here.
Come on. I'm not a homo or anything. Will you kiss me?
I don't think so.
He said no. Okay. The answer is
right.
No. You know something? But
you
I
got
respect
these big
you
earphones from... hanging off your head. It's
Follow-up question. Can I kiss you?
No.
Right. Absolutely not. I won't ask. I'm not going to ask. Please, don't worry.
I mean, you're better off with me if you just do it and don't ask. You take your chances.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, I touched him.
And hold on. Listen, you were like a great athlete, too, right?
You're a college quarterback.
You have the
big
whole...
Big-time college quarterback.
You have the whole GD package, man. You are good-looking. You're an athlete. You're
who'd
the
you
world's
play your
sexiest
college ball
man.
For? Who do you...
UCLA.
UCLA starting quarterback for UCLA.
You save kids from a car crash. What don't you have going? I don't want to kiss you. I hate you. You got everything. You got everything, and I got nothing.
Do you still play? You still play? You know, a little sandlot football at all? You do that?
I don't. I ride a mountain bike, and I've kind of given up running. I play basketball once or twice a month. That's
right.
About it. And
that's my schedule too. But how come I look like me and you look like you?
Well, you got to push yourself away from the table occasionally.
Do you eat right? Do you have to watch what you eat or anything?
You know,
like
I do.
That?
I used to be 200 pounds.
This is entering into the jealousy phase of the interview.
No. Right. I don't mean it like that. I just mean as we get older, I think you got to change the program a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to learn that, and it wasn't easy for me to be 200 pounds. I'm 170, 168 right now.
You know, I was thinking this morning as I was eating my Eggs Benedict at the hotel. That
this is a comfortable subject for you too, isn't it?
Well, look at us, man. What do you think? You know what's in our life? We got TV and we got food. That's about it. And you are now because we've talked about you with food. Now I have you with both elements of that. Man, I love you, Mark. You're just a cool guy.
I love Brian Piccolo.
Right. Yeah, great movie. That Brian song, man. I love Brian Piccolo.
Tonight, when you hit your knees, I want you to love him too.
Right.
How long have you been married?
11 years.
11 years, same woman the whole time?
It was the same woman when
you
I left to come here to do this interview, yeah.
You said you small children. How many small children do you
two.
Have? And a boy and a girl?
No, two boys.
Two boys and how old?
Five and nine.
Five and nine.
Are they the sexiest children alive?
God, I hope not.
And listen, what kind of car do you drive?
I have a Suburban.
That's the second Suburban. Gerald McCraney drives a Suburban.
Yeah, Major Dad.
I don't know whether you're interested in that. You're not. He's looking at me. He's not interested in that at all.
You're not a real showbiz phony guy, are you, Mark?
I hope not. I mean, if you guys ever hear I am, I hope you come and kick me right in the ass. That would be good.
We've asked a lot of people this. Would this be the hottest part of the room that you've been in? And I mean that.
No, I'm actually enjoying this.
There you go.
No, we don't mean in what we're asking you. We mean just the lights are very bright.
See, we feel there's no ventilation, and you're not sweating, and none of the TV people that have been here are sweating.
I can think Robert Stack was sweating when he left here.
Yes, just a little bit. Just
first
a little
time
bit.
I've ever seen him sweat.
Let me ask you, what's your theory on how come old guys want to wear their pants so high? Do you notice that Robert Stack had his pants all the way up like here?
I was looking at his shape. He's in great shape.
He is in pretty good shape.
He works out.
72, so he works out. We asked him that, too.
72.
Do you have a home gym?
I just have a few weights.
A few weights?
Gym, yeah.
You don't even have the apparatus, right? Just a few weights
down there? I've got a couple of... I had a shoulder injury, so I have a shoulder machine, and
right.
I have some free weights.
Which is your bad shoulder?
Right. Why, they're both been broken.
What, do you want to give him a little rub down or what? What the hell?
Look at arm wrestle.
That one.
Look at that bump you got on your shoulder.
Yeah, I recently had arthroscopic surgery on my shoulder as well.
You did?
Yeah.
They scoped your shoulder?
They scoped my shoulder. I got the scars right here.
What was wrong with your shoulder?
I had a AC joint. My AC joint got a little messed up. Everybody said, was it a football injury? I said, no, I was actually at a party and I got thrown over a railing.
He did?
Yes, when I was in high school. That's how it happened. So it's not a very glamorous story.
In a fight?
It was. Yes.
You must have to hear this.
Yeah. Huh? It was a little. Just a little.
Big guys.
It was
big guys.
The guy that was fullback for our football team actually was roughhousing. It wasn't a fight per se, but then he threw me over a railing and I hurt my shoulder.
You must have done great in high school with the girls, right?
No. I was real shy.
Okay. What's that?
I'm serious.
Can you come back over here again? That is the most pushy way it's been done so far. Yeah. The move that everybody usually gives us is like this. They go wind it up and they do the little thing on the finger.
I think people think that. That's kind of a fallacy.
Really? How old? Can I ask you, how old were you lost your virginity?
You can ask. I won't tell you. But you can ask.
Were you in high school?
No.
No? Oh, was it on St. Elsewhere?
Ed Bigley, if you're talking to him, ask Ed about that moment. He'll tell you all about it.
All right. Well, listen now. Do you really have to go, or is
I don't have to go?
Did you set this up with her that you say no matter what these guys say after I've been here for 10 minutes, you got to say cut.
No, he's not. I'm going to give him credit. He's not. He doesn't even know this is existing. And nobody, when we're doing these interviews, has any idea that this is going on in back of us. We're getting signs.
They stand behind you and say, "Get him out of here."
This woman. What's your name, darling? Sue. Sue was going like this. You know, not subtly, she was bringing...
If you're water skiing, that means you want to go back to the dock.
No, she wants you to go back to the dock, really? Obviously, right now.
How do you like all these other DJs you've had to bid with?
How do you like these DJs you had to bid with, Mark?
Wow.
God, you're handsome, man.
This is getting more complex.
Oh!
Well, good luck
with... Are you guys both from D.C.?
No.
Yes.
I mean, that's where you were raised?
Originally?
No, where?
No, D.C., for me. Yeah.
I'm from Hartford, Connecticut, right outside of Hartford, Connecticut.
My mom's from Hartford.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. See, but we have a national show. We're on in 50 cities, 49.
Yes, it's not just Washington. It's actually 49 cities across
the country. When are you guys on? In the morning or?
In the afternoon.
Like what time?
3 to 7.
Oh, the drive time. You guys are the guys.
We're the guys.
We're the man.
I used to be in advertising, and that was like the...
You were in advertising?
I was in advertising.
I would have hated a guy like you in advertising.
I bet you closed some deals.
I was a merchandising guy. I just kind of wrote copy and stuff.
Would you do that right out of college?
Yeah.
Wow. Could you imagine if we had a guy as... you know, part of the reason that I hate you, but I love you, but I also hate you, is that you're good looking, but you're also easygoing. You see?
And guy, non-threatening to those of us that look like us.
And if we had a guy like you at our radio station, we would be pummeling him all the time.
Absolutely. Really? There'd be constant pressure if there was a sales guy that looked like you, because, you know,
I find it interesting. I mean, there must be very few out there that you guys don't pummel.
No, we actually have people we don't pump. Well, they're one out of them.
Dick Van Patten.
Really?
Do you know Dick Van Patten?
I know who he is.
We're going to his house after we get done with this. We really are, I swear to God.
Yeah. He was on our show. He played donkey basketball with us. And he said, next time you're in L.A., come to our house, thinking that, you know, he'd just get rid of us that way. Well, we actually called and said, we're going to be in Los Angeles. Wait, we want to come to your house.
He did an interview with you guys.
Yes.
And then he said, come to my house?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
This is a silly boy.
Yeah, I know. I know it, man. Who's your favorite football team, your pro football team?
God, I don't know. I don't pro football. I don't follow a lot, really, to be honest with you.
So you go to a lot
baseball
of UCLA games?
Follow, but
get out to see UCLA.
I saw him play Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I went out to do this thing for ESPN on the practice field. I hadn't been out there in a long time, and Bob Toledo grabbed me. He said, "Come on, you're going to talk to the team." I was like,
like Regis talks to Notre Dame.
They weren't even born when I played, you know. And but they had a good game against Texas, and I follow what they do. I think if you go to school somewhere, you got to follow what your teams do. And I seem to always kind of look at the paper, and I have a good weekend or bad weekend based on, you know, pretty much how they do.
Oh, cool. All right, that's good.
What size shoe do you wear?
10.5 dog.
10.5 dog.
What about you?
About the same, about 10.5.
I wear an 18. No, they're small. I have small
like
little
nine,
ballet
like
slippers.
Nine?
No, I'm a 10.5 also.
Really?
10.5. Actually, these may even be an 11 in the Reeboks.
And now, are there any final questions you'd like to ask us, Mark?
We're here for you. We know you've been on the receiving end, and now it's your time to give.
Turn the tables, if you will.
And this is really just going to take a moment. This is the last part of the interview.
Stop with the hurry-up stuff.
He'll be able... Mark Harmon interviews Don and Mike. Anything you'd like to ask.
And there he goes. Oh.
Hey! He gave you a kiss!
He kissed me!
He kissed you right on the forehead, man!
I am never washing that
Thank
head
you,
again.
Thank you, Mark Harmon.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks a lot. That was a good finish to the interview.
Oh, boy.
Kissed you right on on the forehead.
Mm-mm.
Don't wash that forehead.
Smells like Mark.
Just dreamy, man. Absolutely dreamy.
Mark Harmon.
There he goes. He's a good guy. I like him.
I'm getting all worked up now.
Oh, man.
Well, that was good.
He was a good guy.
That was good. I, like, ran out of stuff to ask him.
Yeah, but then we turned the tables, and as soon as we asked him to interview us, he planted that kiss right on your forehead.
I got my kiss from the overtly heterosexual Mark Hamill.
Mark Harmon. What, he really shook you up. That kiss got you all shaken up.
Who is Mark? Oh, Mark Hamill
from Star Wars.
That toad from Star Wars.
Right.
I would never want him to kiss me.
And his sister Dorothy.
Dorothy Hamill, of course.
She's okay.
She's A-okay.
For a figure skater.
She invented the camel.
Okay. What was that? What was that?
What's that, Sue? Sue, you know something?
Thank you, Sue.
That's a nice parting shot there. I appreciate it. Sue just said we're very funny. She wishes we were on in L.A., and believe
you,
me, so do we.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. There she goes. But she was giving us that cut sign.
Jeez.
Oh, man. Is it humid in here?
Yeah, it is. Well, you weren't just kissed by Mark Harmon, buddy. We've got to do a break.
Oh,
you know, I think he tongued my forehead.
Oh, yeah, right.
I think so.
Ran it all the way back to your hairline.
Do I have a hickey?
Yeah, it looks like was there a little suckling there.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks to Mark Harmon, and his show is, I'm glad you watched that show.
Hope is on Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
I do not know a thing about that show.
Wednesday nights, 10 o'clock, Chicago Hope.
I'm so glad that you were asking him questions about it.
Hector Elizondo, Christine Lottie, it's a great show. It's a show that originally, when it came on the air, went against ER, and it was very difficult. They kept it on the air, and it's a good show.
Yeah, he's all right looking. Mark Harmon. We're up on a break.
Pretty man.
And we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Private Piles, why is your footlocker unlocked?
Sir, I don't know, sir.
Private Pile, if there is one thing in this world that I hate, it is an unlocked footlocker. You know that, don't you?
Sir,
world wonder.
Sir, no, sir.
Get down. Well, now. Let's just see if there's anything missing. Holy Jesus. What is that? What is that, Private Pile?
Sir, jelly donut, sir.
A jelly donut?
Sir, yes, sir.
How did it get here?
Sir, I took it from the mess hall, sir.
Is jelly allowed in the barracks, Private Pile?
Sir, no, sir.
Are you allowed to eat jelly donuts, Private Pile?
Sir, no, sir.
And why not, Private Pile?
Sir, because I'm too heavy, sir.
Because you are a disgusting fat body, Private Pile.
Sir, yes, sir.
And why did you hide a jelly donut in your footlocker, Private Pile?
Sir, because I was hungry, sir.
Because you were hungry.
The Don and Mike Show. Like a love toy for your ears. The Don and Mike Show.
That's right, and welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike are on vacation. Don't worry about it. Everything's cool. They haven't gotten in any trouble. I'm your host, Joe Hardinger, bringing you best of Don and Mike all across this great nation on the Westwood One Radio Network. Well, in this next segment, we've got some random calls and then some talk about life with Barbara Streisand. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Hello. Yeah, Don, Mike.
Yeah.
Buzz. Got a question for you.
Yeah, buddy.
You know what Jay Leno was saying when they had that Hugh Grant on and it catapulted Leno just beyond Letterman?
Uh-huh.
Do you think Marv Albert would go on Letterman, and do you think that...
Oh, no, listen, that won't happen for a while, because here's Marv's plan. He will drop out of society for a while, probably.
Yeah, there's several people saying that he will be back in broadcasting. They see a very strong possibility that he'll come back with a smaller operation.
He'll have to go to a counseling group, and then he'll write a book,
yep.
And then, you know, once we all kick him down, we'll want to build him back up again.
That's the way we are in this country.
I just think it would be great.
That's the American way, Mike.
America!
That's great.
America.
Build them up,
America.
Break them down, and then let's see if they're strong enough to build their way back up again.
Yeah. Amen, Donnie.
Hello. Yeah, was there more, sir?
Well, I just thought it'd be great for Letterman to get him on because it would catapult him back into first place, I think, again. But I guess that's not going to happen.
It would, but I don't think it'll happen. But you're right, yeah, Letterman could use a shot in the arm like that.
Definitely.
Well, Letterman does have a reputation of kind of avoiding the nasty stories.
He has done one joke on Marv Albert the whole week.
And he wonders why he's getting his butt kicked by Bill Maher. Really?
Yeah.
You know, Letterman's number three.
And Bill Maher's got a nice office.
Letterman's lost it.
Lots of candy in that Bill Maher office.
Unbelievable amounts of candy.
I mean, when we walked through the office of Politically Correct this week, I swear to God, you know when you go to Price Club and they have those real big things of candy, those huge bags?
Yes.
Like the kind you would buy for trick-or-treat if you lived in a busy neighborhood?
Or if you had like a convenience store.
There had to be 20 bags of candy like that. All over the store, and every drawer that was open was full of snack-sized candy bars.
Yeah, do you think that's for the guests, or do you think Bill Maher's just back there just stuffing himself with candies?
Maybe he's one of those eat-it-and-then-throw-it-up guys.
Ah, a little bulimia for Mr. Maher.
Yeah, he's very thin.
Yes, he is.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
There he is now. Thank you for calling, Bill.
Thank you, my friend. Hello. Donaldo E. Miguel. Hello. Oh, now I've done it. Hello. Come in. Houston, we have a problem.
Morning, Will Robinson.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Danger, danger.
All right, here's the book.
We're going to have this guy in on our next break. Mm-hmm. He's written a book called My Life with Barbara.
Barbara.
A love story. Okay? Wow. So this is a guy. His name is Barry Denon.
Barry.
And he's written a biography about Barbara Streisand, a moving, fascinating, intimate portrait of Barbara, the 3 years she shared with Barry,
ooh,
and the off-again, on-again relationship he has had with her for over 30 years.
30 years of love. Isn't that marvelous?
Wow. Hello, gorgeous. So, in order to prepare ourselves for the interview, which is just a few moments away, mm-hmm, we have selected highlights from the book that we will be discussing with the author.
Very good.
Why should we go through the time of asking what he wants to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, we found out what you folks want.
Yes.
Rob Spiewak had a couple free hours on his way back from Los Angeles, and Rob actually read the book on the airplane this
week.
Very
good.
So here are the highlights. Page 89. A first, but not gone all the way through, not consummated. And here it is. This is Barry, mm-hmm, the author of the book, with Barbara Streisand. Without thinking at all, I put my hands on her arms and gently pushed them down and out of the way. Barbara looked at me so seriously. I leaned over and for the first time kissed her right on the mouth. My lips on top of her lips. Suddenly our mouths opened together, over each other. I remember it being all soft and voluptuous. Our tongues finding each other, working my hand up her blouse.
Oh dear.
My nails tracing a path down her side as I continued to kiss her silky mouth just like I'd always wanted to.
This is great, Barbara.
I could feel the electric eel currents running through both of us.
Did you say electric eel currents?
That's right.
Eee.
The little shivers, the shocks of sexual discovery.
Shimmy, shimmy, Coco Pop.
We kissed and kissed some more. It was like a song lyric. When we finally came up for air, yeah, there you go. It's like...
Oh.
Thank you. It's like electric eel currents.
Ba-ba-wa. Ba-ba-wa.
We came up for air, I said, I don't think we're going to get a lot of rehearsing done today. Maybe not, Barbara said, and looked at me, clearing her throat. I put my face in her hand, brought it back to mine, and placed my lips on hers.
Kiss, 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 kiss.
My hands downward as we explored with our tongues.
Give us a kiss, Barbara.
Well, fine. There's a whole lot here. And I guess they never do it. There's like 20 pages here that Rob has highlighted, and I just have to do some editing, you know. This is what it's like when you're me. Just cut to the chase, man.
Yeah.
I don't care about all the junk in between. Just cut to the chase where the guy... Oh, okay.
Oh, dear.
Well, wait, there's more.
What's the title of the book again?
My Life with Barbara.
Wow.
A love story.
A love story.
There you go. This is pretty explicit stuff. So remember now, as we lead up to this, they've had a first sexual encounter, but it wasn't consummated.
Yeah,
they had more probing,
but they still didn't consummate the relationship.
I took her by the shoulders and shook her. You scared me.
Don't do that.
Barbara sobered up immediately.
Why are you doing this? Don't
sorry.
Do this.
It's okay, I softened and took a washcloth and began wiping the soap off her face.
Oh, they're in the, like, bathroom?
She was pressed up against my towel and took little nibbling pecks as I wiped her cheeks. Stop that, I said. I can't concentrate.
Ooh.
I thought men liked that. Have you ever done that before, I asked? Hey, now there's something a woman doesn't like hearing, huh?
Yeah.
You can say, hey, have you ever done that before?
Oh, hundreds and thousands of times.
Have you ever done that before, I asked? No, she answered, she said. But it's interesting. All salty, like a pickle.
Ah.
I'm so sorry, I said. Well.
Okay, and so at least we're at the stage where nothing's really happened yet.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty close. Let's now welcome Barry, how do you pronounce, is it Denon?
Denon.
Barry Denon, everybody.
Hi, Barry, how you doing?
I think I'm okay.
You think,
listen to that dramatic recitation, though, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, just going through the book, you know, taking out little sections that might interest our listeners.
Yeah, just a minute here, though. I don't go leafing through your teenage love affairs and presenting them to my listeners.
Ah, but we didn't put them in a major book.
Ah, that's true.
There
it's
you go.
Shocking. But you know, there are other pages you could read from.
Oh, but come on. Nobody would want to hear it if I didn't whet their appetite. Listen, I'm sure we sold a lot of books for you
today.
I think
you ought to leave whetting other people's appetites out of it.
Oh, come on now. It's lots of fun, and we like the little byplay between you and Barbara as you were exploring your sexuality.
Yeah, but come on, guys. It was sweet and tender. We were teenagers. We were kids.
You were I thought that Dom was giving a very sweet and tender recitation.
I was doing my best.
Yeah, right.
Well, listen, that okay.
Of the beer factory.
So you didn't like the reading, huh?
Well
listen,
come
now,
on.
You got a lot of nerve. Really, I'm serious. If you're going to run me an attitude here, you got a lot of nerve. You write a book. And you got publicists who want to hype the book, and then you get mad because I read some of the good parts.
No, not the least bit, Matt. I just wish that you would
you know, in the book, it's very carefully balanced out with other stuff.
So yeah. The book is the overall picture of the love story.
Well, there's a lot of stuff in it. You know, the book is really mainly about creating her first nightclub act. And
yeah, but listen, who cares about that? People want to read about the stuff that I was just reading about.
Well, some people want to hear about that, but some people want to hear about everything.
So were you, was Barbara your first?
No. Or
were you Barbara's first? Or did you ever even, we never got to the part in the book where, do you consummate this relationship?
You better read the book, and I think your listeners would better read the book, too.
All right,
no,
well,
I had had a
what page do you want me to read?
I had had an illegitimate child, actually, before I met Barbara.
Oh, you had?
I had fooled around with women before her, and I've been with, but you know that I'm gay.
Okay, well, listen, here's the first question for you, Barry. Name of his book, My Life with Barbara.
Thank you.
A love story. What does Barbara think about your writing this book?
I don't really know. I sent her a copy because I was asked to and because I wanted to. And I haven't heard anything back yet, not even that she got it.
When's the last time you had any personal contact with Barbara?
We spoke on the 1st of May, just before my book went off to the printer.
And she knew about the fact that you were writing this book?
Oh, I told her I was writing it, 2 years ago.
Well, what'd she think about it when you talked to her about it?
I mean, first of all,
The whole idea, the whole kind of, give us a general overview of how she feels about this whole project.
I don't think Barbara likes anything that's ever been written about her.
Mm-hmm.
I think she views all of that as critical, and she feels that people get things wrong and lie, and I don't think she likes it at all. She's a very private person.
So do you think she'll ever contact you now? I mean, since you've written this book?
Yeah, I don't know. She could.
Do you care?
Well, of course.
Why you care?
I'd like to hear from her and know whether she's read it and if she liked it.
Mm-hmm. How old were you and how old was she when the sex was happening?
Well, let's see. We met when she was 17 and I was 20, and I guess she moved in with me about I would say 8 months later, maybe.
So chronologically,
chronologically,
all of this happened then before she hit it real big, right? Because then we were reading a part that said you also introduced her to Funny Girl.
I introduced her to Funny Girl?
Fanny Bryce.
I played some Fanny Bryce records for her.
And that's when she got interested in it? But so this is long before she made the movies, right?
Oh, my goodness. It's long before she did it on Broadway.
Right.
Uh-huh. Oh, it was a long time ago. Barbara and I were just kids. We were knocking around New York and trying to get our careers together and trying
to
fool around with each other. And, you know, it was all, you know what young love is like.
Did she look anything like she looks now?
Her photograph is right on the cover of the book.
Oh, the one with the big cigarette holder?
I took that picture in our apartment. And the pictures in the book of her, there are other pictures of her in the book that I took in our apartment. These are rare photographs.
Really? Hey, how does she look naked?
Well, she looks rather like Barbara Streisand naked.
Well, I've never seen Barbara Streisand naked, so I mean like on a scale of 1 to 10.
Back in those days when you saw her naked.
She was, she's a lovely-looking lady. I always thought Barbara was sensational-looking.
Now, how much was she doing a lot of that singing when you were together?
No. Barbara, I didn't know that Barbara had anything to do with singing at all until one day when she... I had a real good tape recorder. I had an Ampex, which my dad had given me as a gift. And she called me up one day and said that she wanted to use it. And I said, for what? And she said, to make a tape. And I said, a tape of what? And she said, a tape of me singing. And I said, singing? Singing? I'd never heard of, you know, it never occurred to me that Barbara had anything to do with singing or songs or music or anything, because she'd never talked about it. And she came up and she made this tape, and I just went nuts. I mean, I'd never heard a voice like that.
Super.
Well, nobody else ever had either. That beautiful voice.
Are these the tapes that at the in the last part of the book where you're having an argument with her where she wants some tapes back?
Those were some of the tapes. When Barbara started to do her nightclub act at the Bonsoir, and everybody started to schlep down to the village to see her, including all the working crew of Funny Girl, the composer and the producer, and all, they all started to show up to watch her nightclub act. I used to take the tape recorder to the club, and we would tape her act, and then we...
Do you think he would be offended if I asked him a question about her personal hygiene?
Tapes and
not at all.
So the highlights of your book, pretty much, are, at least in my opinion, this great juicy stuff with all your encounters with her.
It's kind of exciting to read about this major star and, you know, formulating her early love life.
Well, I hope so. I hope it's exciting. But you know something, guys?
Yeah.
I have a feeling that there are a lot of young... I have a feeling this is like a 1997 problem, particularly these days with young folks who are very androgynous, whose sexuality is ambiguous, who don't really know what they want.
Are you saying that Barbara's sexuality might be ambiguous?
No, I think Barbara's sexuality is right down the line. But
how's her hygiene? How is her personal hygiene?
Barbara was always scrupulously clean. Barbara was always I'm kind of fussy myself, and Barbara was always scrupulous, not only about her own personal hygiene, but this is this horrible rumor that has sprung up about Barbara being grubby.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I talk about that a lot in the
book.
That's
good. We appreciate you answering the question.
So in your opinion, she wasn't grubby?
It's not in my opinion. Barbara wasn't grubby.
Well, that's
Barbara,
what I mean.
Barbara was very, very careful. And
she shave her legs?
Jesus. Yes, she did.
Did she shave anything else?
I don't remember.
How about under her arms? She ever let that go for a day or two?
No, she did not. No,
she did not.
No, she was very, very. This is such a weird thing to be discussing.
Well, we're fascinated.
You shave your arm? Excuse me?
Well, we don't. No, we don't shave our arm.
I see.
Well, not all the time.
Listen, these are the kind of questions that people want to know about Barbara Streisand.
Well, that shaves her arms?
Yeah.
What's that got to do with her artistry or with her beautiful voice?
Barry, let me tell you, this is tabloid radio, man. Here we are.
I think it's going down.
A serious show? Okay, well, been nice having you on the show.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Good luck with the book, Barry.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The guy was a little too uptight. You know, how dare he? Guy writes a book like this. We book him on the show, and then all he wants to talk about is his passionate love affair that he had with her. The guy's a stalker. The guy's a nut job, man.
Well, all right. Well, I thought it was a lovely story, and you tell it so well.
Another interview handled only the way we can do it.
Bravo! Well, I don't think that was ugly at all.
The one point he goes, Jesus.
Man, and he knew her before she sang.
All right, you know, if I was him, someone should talk to his press agent. You know, he's got to pick it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that stuff might fly on a regular boring talk show, but we got to hear the juicy stuff,
yes,
man.
The encounters.
Yeah.
And then weak-ass stories, the best you can come up with.
That's the best, huh? All right. There's more fun just reading the book than having the dope on.
Well, you did a great reading.
Thank you, Mike.
You're more than welcome.
Remember, it's kind of like a pickle, only saltier.
Well, you know what I'll do? I'll just wrap it in powdered sugar, put some almonds on it, and put it in the refrigerator.
Jesus, nobody cares about that. A beautiful relationship. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. God damn it. The day is almost over. But I've got one more game for you. Three words. Say it all together now. Honk for cash. It's the best. The Don and Mike.
You know, here I am excited for the bad weather edition of Honk for Cash.
Yes.
Thinking of the fun we're going to have when people really get agitated in a snowdrift and when the traffic's not moving. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4 calls from Tampa, one call from St. Pete, and 2 calls from Sacramento. All of the Honk for Cash calls are from warm weather locations.
That's because the people here are just too exasperated to play the game.
Let's get to the phones. Let's get some Honk for Cash action going. Now, as I mentioned, the snow calls were the most desired, but if you're calling from the warm weather sites, we'll go there.
Why not?
Let's go to St. Petersburg, Florida. Hello, Dallas.
Hello, Don. Hello, Mike.
Hi. Guy's name is Dallas. He's calling from St. Petersburg.
Well, I've got no one behind me, but I'm in a left turn lane.
That's perfect. That's usually the way Honk for Cash begins.
The only bad thing about it is I've got, I run a mobile DJ business. I've got my phone number all over the van, so I'm going to probably piss a lot of people off and lose some business. But, you know, if I get a few bucks, it's worth it.
Hey, listen, any publicity is good publicity.
That's right.
That's not the important thing. The important thing is you getting people in back of you that can honk at you when the light turns green.
All right, we'll come back to you.
All right.
All right, you're going to stay in the loop. Now, look at this. Somebody has given up a warm weather line, and we have Alexandria, Virginia also. Here's Bonnie, who's in the snow. Hello, Bonnie.
Hi.
Hi, are you at a turn signal?
No, but I'll be there in like 1 minute.
That's the way Honk for Cash works, Bonnie. Perfect. Don't worry.
No, but I'll be, I really will in just 1 minute.
No, you won't.
We'll come back to you. We'll come back. Let's go to Tampa, Florida. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
My name's Charla.
Hi, Charla.
Charla.
Charla, where are you in Tampa?
Oh, I am on Fowler Avenue,
in line to get on the interstate for 275 north.
Oh, you know what? Is this could be great for Hunt for Cash. Is this one of those deals where you're on a ramp to get on the interstate and the light goes green and only one or two cars can get on at a time?
Well,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It takes forever.
It
takes forever to get through these lights.
That's good enough for us.
275.
Are you at the light now?
Well, I'm at the light before the light. I'm right there. I'll come back to you.
All right, let's go back to Dallas and St. Pete. Dallas.
No go yet.
All right, no go.
Okay, that's okay. That's usually the way Honk for Cash starts, and it's the way it continues.
All right, here's Sacramento, California. This is Ed. Hi, Ed.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going great. Ed, where are you in the Big Sack?
I'm actually just north of Sacramento in Roseville off the corner of Douglas and Sunrise, and there's about... what I've counted, about 23 cars lined up for this light.
But now, what would be the temperature in Sacramento today?
I'd say it's about high 60s.
Now, if we haven't mentioned, Honk for Cash, here's how it works. You're in your car, you're in your car phone. It's the afternoon, no matter where you're listening to the program right now, late afternoon, early afternoon. Everybody wants to get home. You're at the light, the arrow turns green, you don't go. 30 seconds, we'll pay you $1 for every honk we hear with a frustrated motorist behind you.
It's that simple if you follow the rules. And remember, we give you 30 seconds. Don't interrupt it.
No talking during the 30 seconds.
We want 30 seconds of silence. All we're listening for is those honks.
Now, are you at a light now?
Ed?
I am just coming up to it.
No, all right, I'll come back to you.
All right.
I'll come back to you. Let's go to Bonnie again in the snow. Bonnie?
Hey!
Yes?
I'm coming up to it right now.
Okay.
Please talk to me for just 1 minute while I get up to it.
One entire minute? You mean 60 seconds, Bonnie?
It won't be a whole minute. It really won't.
Now, Bonnie,
people have said that before, Bonnie.
When you get up to the light, is the light going to change?
Oh, well, I don't think so. I mean, I can't predict that.
No, we can't predict that we're going to be able to stay with you for 60 seconds.
Come on. Well, listen, then, Bonnie, go get in line at the light, and we'll come back to you.
Oh, hurry, though. I'm coming right now.
You're there now?
I'm coming up to it right
now. No, you're not. You're lying.
Yes, I swear I'm not.
Hold on. Here's Charla from Tampa.
Yeah.
Charla, are you at that light yet?
I'm at the light, and... Wait, here comes a car behind me. Wait.
All right, there's one car behind you now?
Yeah, but it's the light's green, and it's you can turn if the green arrow isn't on, but you can turn if there's room to turn. You know what I mean?
I don't understand this,
Charlie.
You know, like there's a green light for the people going straight, and if you're going left,
right, it works best if you're at a light that has an arrow
has an arrow now. Well, it's turning red. I missed it.
I'll come back to you.
Thanks so much, Charla.
All right, here's Dallas and St. Pete. Dallas,
going great.
Hey, I'm in the left turn lane right now, but there's 30 cars in front of me. This is going to be a good line.
Are there any cars behind
you? Now there's about five behind me, but I mean, I'm...
That's okay.
You know what I'm saying? And right now it's green, so...
All right, ready, go!
No, that's not going to count.
Yeah, because he's got 30 cars in front of him.
I got like 30 cars in front of me. I'm not even moving yet.
Most of his 30 seconds is just going to involve
waiting for the next cycle.
All right, the next cycle.
The next cycle will be perfect.
Wait for the next cycle.
Story of my life, wait for the next cycle. Hello?
Oh, dear.
All right, we lost somebody. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
Hey, I was just at a green light a second ago, and I had somebody behind me, but you didn't answer my line.
Can you pick up, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was just at a red light with someone behind me, but you weren't, had me on hold.
I think the idea, we have to specify here, we don't want just one person behind you. The more cars in back of you, the better.
Yeah. It's more to your benefit.
Oh, yeah.
Because the more people you have behind you, the more money you can win. Now, you're calling from the snow, right? From Virginia?
Oh, yeah, I'm in Leesburg.
Okay, all right, I'll leave you in the cycle.
Okay.
All right, we'll come back to you.
Thanks.
Let me see. Where's the guy in Sacramento? Here's Ed in Sacramento. Ed.
Hey, I'm coming up to the light, fellas.
All right, finally, we're going to get a player for Honk for Cash.
All right, now, Ed, how many cars are in back of you?
Right now, I got about seven. And the light just turned red, so I am waiting in line for the light.
All right.
How long you figure the cycle is for the light, Ed?
7 years, Mike.
It seems like it.
Now, listen, Ed, remember, when the light finally turns green and you say the light's green, we say go. 30 seconds, you don't say anything.
Sounds good.
It's important.
I'd like to explain that Honk for Cash is hitting on all eight. We have not even had an opportunity to let anyone play the game yet. That's the way it works best.
Now, does this include the morons that are honking at me for being on the phone?
Why would someone honk at you for being on the phone?
Well, this is Sacramento.
No, that doesn't count.
That, you know what? That is another nonsensical statement, like the guy that made the statement about Dennis Leary.
That's right. Red Flair.
Having too much smoke for Satan.
Red Flair for conspiracy here.
Oh, okay, now they're letting the traffic go in the other direction, so I'm still,
so you're almost
still
there.
Hanging tough here.
All right, hold on. Let me check the other one.
It'll be Ed in Sacramento. By the time we get back to him, the cycle will have already
Let's
passed.
Go to Bonnie in the snow. Bonnie?
I'm here. I'm at the light.
At the light.
But it's green.
All right, go.
But it's green.
Bonnie, do you understand how we played the game?
Yeah, but I mean, it's green and I have to go through it and there's nobody behind me.
Oh.
Can I use
oh,
it?
No.
All right, I'll come back to you. Okay, here's Charla in Tampa.
No, you missed me. I had honks and everything.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
That's the way honk for cash works.
Come
yeah.
back.
Right. Sorry about that, Charlie.
Here's Dallas and St. Pete. Dallas.
All right, I'm gonna piss somebody off big time right now.
Why?
Because I just cut in halfway into the left-hand turn lane, like from a gas station across the street. So now the guy that let me in, as soon as it turns green, I'm not going to move.
Oh, dear.
All right, okay.
And how long before
I'm
you get
the green? I'm on the cycle, and I'm probably about 20 seconds counting down.
20 seconds?
But I'm probably exaggerating, so it's probably 30.
30, and that's probably more like a minute, isn't it?
No, it's really not that far, because everyone's going across me the other direction.
All right, we'll stay with this guy in St. Petersburg.
This is Dallas
okay,
in St. Pete. Tell me when it changes.
Okay, hold on. I got to roll down the window. Here, it's changed, but if the car in front of me moves, can I then start the 30? Here we go.
No. It's
oh, okay. Ready?
Go! Go. All right, there.
I'm not moving.
No. Disqualification.
You're already disqualified.
You spoke to us before the 30 seconds was up.
Hey, Dallas?
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did. We said ready,
you
go.
Said, you didn't say go?
Yes, we did.
All right, I'm stopping right now, then, and give me 5 seconds.
No, what do you mean give you 5 seconds? Is the light green?
It's green there, and I'm at the front of it, not stopping if you give me go.
No.
Too late.
No.
I
oh,
up,
Dallas, you messed up completely.
Do I get one more shot?
You can't play by your rules, Dallas.
Hello, Ed in Sacramento.
Where'd you guys go?
What do you mean, where did we go? We went to Tampa. We went to Washington.
Listening to Honk for Cash.
Here to get back in this line.
All right, we'll come back to you.
You're listening to the magic that is Honk for Cash.
Here's Bonnie in the snow.
I'm at the light, and it's red, and there's people behind me now.
All right, Bonnie, you'll be the first one to get a chance to play Honk for Cash today.
How many people are back you, Bonnie?
Right now I see 1, 2, 3, 4.
All right.
But they're steady coming.
All right.
Hey, can I tell Buzz something?
Sure.
Hey, Buzz.
Yeah.
I have your birthday. We have the same birthday.
Oh, all right. I see what you mean. Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Great. Well, happy birthday to us.
Well, happy birthday to us. And you know what? My dad has Charlie's birthday.
Oh, really? December 13th?
That's right.
All right.
I got all kinds of interesting stuff, so you should have just stayed with me.
Charlie's 50, you know.
Sure, should have, Bonnie.
Okay, people are already beeping, and my light's not even green.
As they said in Pulp Fiction, this is the Bonnie situation.
That's right.
Bonnie, is that light anywhere close to?
It's so close.
Hey, Bonnie.
What?
Are we cool?
We're really cool.
We cool.
We're the coolest.
That's right, Marsalis. Bonnie's going to wait for the light to change.
Okay, here
ready?
It goes. Hold on.
And go!
All
right, 30 seconds starts now. We're going to count the honks.
I say she took. That was her horn. It'll be the same horn.
You'll have to get her to honk her horn to make sure that she wasn't.
It's a lock. Yeah. That's three. I'm going to give her three.
Did you hear him?
She's disqualified. I knew it.
You talked before the 30 seconds was up.
My light turned red.
That's an automatic disqualification, Bonnie.
My light turned red.
And Bonnie, could you honk your horn for us, please?
Yeah.
But she still loses, though.
But why? Yeah. Because that's not fair. My light turned red and
Bonnie, not the rules, Bonnie.
Bonnie, the rule is you can't talk for 30 seconds.
I didn't have the phone to my ear, though. I was holding it out so you'd hear the beep.
Bonnie, we make that very clear at the beginning of the game.
No talking.
We explain the rules.
Oh, man. Now these people are up here beside me, and they're coming around me and stuff and looking at me all hard.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I didn't know. See, that's... Oh, man.
Oh, man. Hello, Charla in Tampa.
Okay. Any second now. It's about to turn.
This, I would like to say, is one of my favorite editions of Honk for Cash.
We have a bunch of very manic people, don't we?
It's terrific. It works best with manic
people. We want money. Okay, the light's going to change any second.
Any second.
Any second, but don't watch things going, so I know it's about to change for the...
Could be 10 seconds, could be 120
no,
seconds.
How many people behind you there, Charlie?
Oh, there's lots and lots of people behind me, and they're going to be really angry. Here, it's changing.
Charlie, you can't talk. Don't talk.
Tell me what, is it ready? Is it changed?
Yes.
All right, go!
All right, no talking for 30 seconds.
Let's wait.
There's one.
One.
Two. Three.
That's one sustained one, though.
All right, you're at four.
Money bags?
It's $4 coming out of your check. Mr. Big Shot, Diamond Jim. Five. Six, I heard a little one.
Four. She got five more seconds to go.
Seven.
30. Well, she's made it through the 30 seconds. Hey, Charla?
Yeah. Am I allowed to talk?
Are you ready, Charla?
Don't spend it all in one place, Charla, but your grand total is...
Is?
$7! $7 for you, Charla!
I just ran up and started banging on my window.
Oh, no, I'd give you an extra $10 if I heard that.
You didn't hear it. Yeah. I drove off. He scared me.
All right, well, that's very smart that you drove off.
Kind of scummy looking.
Charla, enjoy your
$7.
Worth risking your life for.
$7.
Great.
You know what? Because you're such a nice lady,
yeah,
I'm going to make that an even eight.
Yeah, way to go, Don. You're generous.
Extra dollar out of my paycheck.
I bought your CD.
Like $8.50.
And I'm playing your game, but I'm stuck on the M clue, too.
$8.50. Thanks. Hold on, Charla. Hold on a second. All right, here's Dallas, who's in St. Pete. Dallas.
Hey, all right, I'm coming up. I'm at the light. Everyone's going across traffic. It's a different light now. By the way, the guy that let me in, he pulled up next to me at the next light because I had to go through it. He just looks at me. I rolled down the window. I said, hey, I'm trying to win some money in the red. He goes, I don't care. I let you in. And so he was pretty pissed off.
Yeah, but obviously we didn't hear any of that, did we?
I'd pay for that. That would be worth at least $5. You know, if I could have heard the guy banging on the car, it would have given Charla another 10 spot.
Did you guys get my videotape I sent you?
Are you the guy that sent the tape of the woman licking her fingers and picking her nose on the beach?
Yeah, did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it. The tape is still on my desk. I haven't seen it yet.
You got to watch the guy giving directions. This is some
homeless... The homeless guy?
Yes.
Remember I read you that letter on the air?
Yeah,
that came with the tape?
Maybe, you know, in honor of the snowstorm coming, we can do it tomorrow.
Yeah, you got to check that out.
Or maybe if we all have to go to a hotel, we can watch it at the hotel tomorrow night.
That'll be big fun.
We could spend hours watching a tape of a fat lady licking her fingers and picking her nose on the beach. And
it's got that claymation thing, too, that you wanted, that Rudolph, the Goodfellas kind of...
From Mad TV?
Yeah, that's
right.
That's sitting on the desk.
Yeah.
Yep.
We just haven't watched it.
All right, well, I disqualify myself. I lose.
Why?
Well, because I'm not out of light.
All right. He was just chewing our ear off.
Here's Ed in Sacramento.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Ed.
There's not a soul behind me.
Okay, thank you, Ed.
Bye, Ed.
Perfect.
Here's Steve in the snow.
Oh, new guy.
Steve's in Leesburg with no one behind him.
Yeah, okay.
Nobody behind him.
Leesburg is so small.
Well, Charla's
so far, and I have to turn around again.
Charla's been our only winner so far, and Bonnie was disqualified. Dallas was disqualified. Ed was disqualified.
And that means the total cash out, total cash out of our pocket in this edition of Hauling for Cash.
You gave her $8, Don.
$8.50.
Oh, that's right, $8.50.
$8.50 on this edition of Hauling for Cash. For God's sakes, the car phone bills would be more than $8.50 with all the time the people had to be on hold.
What a great game,
Steve.
Well, hey, I'm dialing your star WJFK, so you're paying for it.
Oh, that's all right, Steve. You're the last chance.
Okay, well, pull up behind me. Come on. I got someone pulling up on the other side. Damn.
Nobody.
You know what, Steve?
Yes, sir.
It really works best if you play this game where there are more cows than people, you know?
Hey, I can't help it. This is where they sent me. As long as they hold the pink slip, I go where they tell me.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Hello. Yep, that's it. Lost everybody.
Everybody's gone. Thanks for joining us on Hawk for Cash.
That's Hawk for Cash. A game that's never worked.
That's why whenever you hear us say Hawk for Cash, that's why we all scream.
No!
So we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.